It's time for Windows Weekly. Microsoft spends $26.2 billion on LinkedIn. Paul and Mary Jo explain why it's not such a bad deal. We'll also talk about the latest version of Windows, the anniversary edition, coming soon to a computer near you, and a phone, and the Xbox, and of course the Xbox One S. It's all next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 470, recorded Wednesday, June 15th, 2016. Microsoft bug, what? Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. And by Atlassian. Unleash your team's potential with collaborative software tools like HipChat and Jira that'll enable you to work and communicate better together. Visit Atlassian.com to learn more. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. I say we, but we is really an editorial we because it's really they from, well, I mean, let's be fair, let's be honest. You and you have journalists of the stature of Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog. Now you know we're talking. We're talking some high-quality journalism here. Or maybe Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Man has been covering Windows ever since there was a Windows.
That's not technically true.
No? You didn't start with Windows 1.0?
I was very disdainful of Windows for the first three releases.
Because you were an Amigist.
Yep.
He was a Linux user. Don't let him kid you.
Back to the Linux.
I've always flitted in and out of Linux, mostly out.
Actually, I've been meaning to ask you, Paul. My bash shell seems to be corrupted. I'm just wondering if you have...
Although that's working as it should, Leo, so you're fine.
I can't apt-get anything. I get these errors. No,
neither can I. I think it's working right.
Oh, good. All right. Just checking.
Yep.
I asked it, can you install Emacs? And it said, no. Don't want to. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Yep. You're stuck with VI.
Actually, this was a big week for Microsoft. Not only was there E3, but weirdly, the day of E3, or right before it began, they announced a big acquisition.
Right.
They did.
I'm going to let Mary Jo handle most of this one, obviously, but I did want to mention just the way this happened for me was I was getting up early in the morning to fly home from Colorado, checked email, checked news feeds. Nothing was going on. Nothing.
Yeah.
Got ready, and then... look at my phone and I've got 17 spastic messages, Brad, Microsoft, whatever, LinkedIn is happening. And it's like, seriously, there's already all this stuff going on.
It was a joke. I didn't believe it. Somebody posted it on his social media.
I know. It was really weird because around 8:45 East Coast time, I was watching Twitter and all of a sudden I saw Microsoft shares have been halted in trading. And I'm like, what?
Oh, that's
interesting. And then I just sat there waiting.
I knew Windows Phone was doing bad, but how bad could it be doing?
I didn't know that. They halted trading, huh?
They halted trading. And then, so I was like frantically looking. I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? And then I saw somebody put.
What did you think before you knew what was going on? Did you think like they bought Yahoo?
I thought they bought Salesforce.
Salesforce. Oh, that would make sense. Have there been rumors to that?
I don't think this was on anyone's radar, was it?
Yeah, there have been a ton of rumors on Salesforce.
No, I mean on LinkedIn.
But nobody has been saying LinkedIn.
No, nobody knew. Nobody.
So
Wall Street was surprised. I don't think there was a single reporter who could say, oh, I knew. No.
Right.
But, you know, I had a funny thing happen the week before. I accidentally called somebody kind of high up at Microsoft by misdialing them, and they sent me this panicked email back. This was the week before, and they're like,
that's awesome.
Do you need me to come out of this meeting and call you?
Oh, wow.
And I was thinking, something's going on, but what? I misdialed.
Do you get kind of the vibes before it happens that their people are a little squirrely.
Well, when Mary Jo calls somebody And I think I know who she called. But let's just say anyone higher up at Microsoft, you could imagine warning bells going off. She's not calling to say hi. How are the kids? No. Did you have a good weekend?
I have this a story I'd like to confirm before I press publish.
I'm looking for a quote, and I am going to press publish. It's up to you to determine whether you get a quote.
I'm going to run with this LinkedIn story unless I hear otherwise.
Yeah.
But in this case,
I wish.
Rumors at all.
No. Mm-mm.
And yet, after it was announced, I thought, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Really? You thought it made sense?
Does it not to you?
I think you go through seven stages with this kind of thing, don't you? A little bit? Yeah.
So I'm still in acceptance.
Right. No, in this case, the acceptance
went right. Skipped right to acceptance.
You did. Because when I first, everybody immediately, once it got announced, people were pinging me on Twitter saying, why? Why did they buy them? And so I was sitting there going, why did they buy them? I have no idea.
It's a great question.
Well, they have a lot of users, right?
Do they?
I think everybody in business uses LinkedIn, don't they?
Let me ask, maybe someone here knows the answer to this question. How many users does Slack have?
Yeah, but Slack is different. How many
how many users does anyone
around,
know?
It's under 100 million. Let me check.
All right, so under 100 million.
Yeah.
And Slack supposedly would have gone for about $8 million, $8 billion, right, if Microsoft bought them. Right. Does that sound about right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. $8 billion. So 30 billion? I mean, 30 billion.
Oh, Slack is even lower. Slack is 2.3 million daily active users.
Oh, that's nothing. Never mind. I was gonna justify why Slack actually makes
sense.
But more importantly,
$8 billion for Slack, right?
Yeah, well, and really, if there is a story, it's $29.2 billion. It's such a large number, but I'm kind of
two thirds of a Yahoo. Is that what we're calling this? Well, or how much were they going to spend on Yahoo? 44?
No,
40 billion.
Yeah, and now Yahoo's being valued somewhere between $4 and $8.
Right,
dollars.
So $29 billion. is by far Microsoft's biggest acquisition. Before its biggest was Skype, I think, for $8 billion, right?
Yeah, but you cannot compare current values with previous values. Everything's changed. When you see, this is in the ballpark of what Facebook paid for WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, to make a giant acquisition like this when you're a mature company or the market is mature? Yes, right. So, I mean, that might have something to do with it. But, I mean, these things are still few and far between. It's a big, it's one of the biggest technology company acquisitions of all time.
Yeah, but again, we're in such an inflated, dare I say, irrationally exuberant era that the dollar numbers aren't.
It's because of Donald Trump, you mean?
He's irrational. I don't know about exuberant. if the dollar numbers, I just throw them away. Because when you see $22 billion for WhatsApp, you know, I thought $1 billion for Instagram was mind-boggling.
Oh, speaking of throwing it away, they're paying $29 billion for this company.
Oh, $29.2 billion. It's cash? It's all cash?
All cash.
Well, it just shows they got the money.
I'd like to write that little check.
Well, they're borrowing to finance it.
They're borrowing to finance.
Well, but that's just that makes sense to do financially.
Right.
Because they
using overseas cash, which they have to pay taxes on to bring back, right?
I see. They're borrowing against that, right? Because they have more cash than that, but it's all overseas.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the more interesting question is, why? What's the strategic value to Microsoft? And to me, that's a no-brainer. And this is why I wasn't surprised, because every professional I know is on LinkedIn. That's where their resume is. I don't know if it's for journalists.
I'm not sure that explains why. You know, in other words, there needs to be, just because people are on LinkedIn looking for jobs, which is not
more
the
than
only
that,
reason.
Though.
It doesn't mean that that's valuable to Microsoft, right? So maybe we should step some of the reasons why.
Right. So let's talk about why they say they bought them.
Okay.
So it all hinges around the concept of the graph, right? There's this thing called Microsoft Graph. LinkedIn has this thing called the economic graph. So a graph is a collection of entities like people, calendar items, where you went to college, prospects, jobs, all kinds of things connected connected how? Connected by, I don't even know how I would describe that. Just how are these things connected to one another? And so companies like Microsoft have these gigantic databases of all these entities, right? Their idea is to take the Microsoft graph and the LinkedIn graph and put the two graphs together to make it even more powerful, and so that you have more kinds of knowledge in this unified graph. That's the like highest level reason why.
I mean, if you think it was so, if Microsoft bought Salesforce, they, you know, the conventional old wisdom would be they're buying it for the software. But I would submit it's not. You're buying it for the users, and this graph in LinkedIn is so valuable on so many levels, both in at, you know, outreach and advertising, seeing how people are related. This is like buying Facebook for business. This is I think this makes total sense.
I think a lot of people don't understand the thing that Mary Jo just described, the Office Graph or Office Delve or Dynamics, which actually a small part of Dynamics plays into this as well, is about people in an organization finding expertise within their organization. It's one of the things. It's not the only part of the graph. The point of the graph is to pull together all kinds of different information. But in other words, you're working on a project. You need someone who knows something about some, you know, some topic. How do you find that person? So they have this technology in-house. LinkedIn provides the kind of what I think of as the public cloud version of that exact same thing. It's a place to find expertise, right? And so if you're, you know, and again, this is not only part of the equation, but this notion that you're inside of a company, you're looking for people for a team, for a project, whatever it is, that have a certain expertise. You're going to look internally. You can look externally as well. It's a way, it kind of completes the picture, because not everyone that's perfect for whatever role may be internal to the company.
Right. And then there's the whole, you know, Microsoft presented all these scenarios in this PowerPoint deck. So one of the things they said is, imagine if you're going to go into a meeting with some people you don't know, and you have these graphs integrated. You could just go, who is blah, blah, blah that I'm about to meet with, get all their information, so that you're not going in cold, right? You know something about them. Yeah. And Microsoft does this with us.
Tailor discussion to that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes,
like,
they do.
They do this
we
with us, right? Yeah. When we go into a meeting with people from Microsoft, they have this thing that they call the briefing book, right? And so somebody at Microsoft PR has prepared something for the executive who may not know us and said, here's Paul Theriot. Here's what he likes about Microsoft. Here's what he doesn't.
Someone from another company as well. I had, and I think we maybe told these stories. I can think of two instances off the top of my head, once via email and once physically in a room just looking at it, where I was able to actually catch a peek at their little dossier on me, which is always kind of fascinating. You know, back then it would have been, you know, paper or email based. Now they can do this in a more sophisticated fashion.
Right. And then, of course, you could have this kind of data integrated in with Cortana, same kind of thing. Hi, I'm about to go into a meeting with Paul. Yes. Who is this guy?
What should I know about that bozo?
Yeah.
Then she's going to say, warning, Will Robinson.
The other big one, and it's one a lot of people kind of glossed over, but you just mentioned it, Paul, Dynamics, right? So Dynamics CRM for Microsoft, like kind of the holy grail in CRM now is this whole human capital management idea.
Yep.
It's kind of like HR, right? And so by integrating in all this LinkedIn data with what Microsoft has with CRM, this is a gold mine for them.
Yeah.
Because if you're using CRM, you're like making cold calls as a salesperson. Think of all this data you're going to have available to you through LinkedIn now. And instead of doing cold calls, you're doing more educated calls. So it fits. It does fit.
For some reason, that reminded me of Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, like a CRM is like also, walking door to door.
It's valuable to Microsoft, too, in understanding their own customers better and reaching to the right person in an organization for sales. Now, if you do want to talk about the price, it was a significant premium, a 50% premium over the stock price, which does seem a little odd.
I mean, well, at least they're profitable. Oh, wait. That's not an area where I have any particular expertise, but I do sort of wonder at corporate acquisition, you know, what's the normal, obviously you build a percentage into the asking price that is above the stock price, the, you know,
but not them. I mean, that's
their
a
worth.
Lot.
No, right. That's what I'm saying. So in other words, this was a higher than usual.
Yeah, that's a windfall if you have shares in LinkedIn.
It was a Balmer-esque amount of money, we might say.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. The chat room's pointing out they do get a significant tax break for doing this somehow. I don't understand how.
But I think it's what Mary Jo said. In other words, that by borrowing money at a very low rate, they don't have to take money from overseas and pay a tax.
$9 billion tax break it's being calculated as.
Sure.
I feel like short the money piece. I understand why this would be of great value to Microsoft.
Yeah.
I guess I do, I'm sorry.
There's an intangible piece to this. You know, we keep hearing how Microsoft wants to have more of a presence in Silicon Valley. And that's one of the reasons supposedly they were looking at companies like Salesforce and possibly Slack. But, so this does give them a presence in Mountain View with a company that's very
instrumental. But they're letting them run independently.
Well, for which now. Was, you know, so they always say that, you know.
Which is, well, but that's what they do with Skype, and we've seen how that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't an announcement that comes out of Skype that comes from Microsoft. It comes from Skype, as if Skype were some thing that existed in Silicon Valley.
Well, there's incentive in this case for them to do that, because what they don't want to do is scare LinkedIn users away from LinkedIn.
Right.
You don't want to think, I'm giving Microsoft all this information. On the other hand, there isn't really an alternative. I mean, this is and this is another reason it's a premium priced product, because what else is there? Where else do you go to make business networking? Business networking is very, 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 very important in business, right? We're not business people, but I think I know a few. And it seems to me networking is like a big part of this, like the connections, the contacts.
No, when I talked to Microsoft that morning, which was difficult because I was traveling, this may not be 100% accurate, but I believe what he said to me was that social networks light up online services. In other words, it's that activity that makes the online services valuable. And that activity is occurring inside companies, and Microsoft kind of has that handled through lots of things, you know, Yammer and SharePoint and Dynamics and Office Graph and Office Delve and so forth. But externally, it's pretty much LinkedIn. I mean, that is kind of the extent, and some products that are only tangentially related, like Slack or whatever. But
it reminds me of Age of Empires. So Paul will get this. You know, there's this thing called Fog of War, right? And in Age of Empires, you can't see what the other guy is doing. You can't see how they're building up. StarCraft, same thing. But occasionally, if you send a scout out, the fog of war lifts and you can see. This is if Microsoft just bought a window into every business in America, into how it runs, who's in charge, how the flow goes, who's there, who's not there anymore.
So
valuable.
I agree with that. My question is, and I'm not a LinkedIn user, but when I think of LinkedIn, I wonder if LinkedIn isn't a double-edged sword for companies, right? That it does help you find people with certain expertise, but it also helps your own employees advertise themselves and their expertises and help them find jobs at other companies.
You have to accept that's just the way life is now. I mean, I don't think you're going to. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to
do? The other thing Paul just mentioned, he's not on LinkedIn, neither am I.
Well, I am.
I know, but you know what? This brings up a whole interesting thing about, I mean, I'm there in a very bare bones profile that I haven't updated in like 10 years.
I pay like $100 a month or a year or something. It's very expensive.
But your data is only as good as the people that are in that database.
Right.
So they've got to find a way to get more people to put their data in LinkedIn and then assure people about certain privacy safeguards, right? Because Microsoft said several times,
you know.
Yeah, like they said several times during their conference call this week, like, don't worry, like, we're going to have controls on this data. It's not just going to be like a free-for-all that companies' data is going to be exposed.
They have to be careful
when they don't
want
it exposed.
Yeah, that's the part of
Microsoft,
keeping it autonomous.
But Microsoft is the right steward for that. And even though some people may look at Microsoft in kind of an out-of-date way or in a FUD-related day because of this Windows 10 stuff and think, oh, we can't trust these people with our data, I think Microsoft is the most trustworthy of the big technology companies with your data, actually. So I they're the right company. If anyone's going to keep LinkedIn's data safe, it would be Microsoft.
Let me just give you a little tour of my LinkedIn page, because LinkedIn's not your grandpa's LinkedIn if you haven't used it in a while. well, for instance, they have a news feed now.
Right.
And a lot of people put content into this news feed. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for not, you know, pictures of kittens and what your niece did at graduation, but But, it, you know, a lot of articles on here, this has become a, in some ways like Medium, where executives are writing longer articles.
Here's kind of an old school reference you will both appreciate. One of the things I really missed over the years as things changed with Microsoft and the way they handled feedback with beta testers and so forth was that in the old days it was on CompuServe. And CompuServe was an expensive at the time paid service. The result of that was that there was no baloney in there. It was all high-quality conversations, people answering questions, getting answers to their own questions, not a lot of snarking and sniping and fighting and being stupid like you see today on, you know, Twitter and news groups, whatever. And that's how I've heard LinkedIn referred to. In fact, when I talked to Microsoft about this, they said, you know, one of the things that's really special about LinkedIn, unlike, say, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, the public social network or the other social consumer social networking services, is that there's a lot less noise. Mm-hmm. And that's of huge value, not just to companies, but to individuals.
Right. And when Microsoft bought Yammer a couple of years ago, they originally bought them in large part for the idea of a news feed, a business news feed. And then in the end, they ended up kind of gutting Yammer and taking pieces of Yammer and putting them into other products. But what they learned from the Yammer thing was people don't want a Facebook-like news feed for work.
Right.
They want something that's more curated, like the LinkedIn feed.
Furthermore, I mean, let me show you. This is my connections page. So these are people you may know. Now, you've seen this in Facebook, but these are people I've worked with or who potentially could work with. If you're in sales, this is better than CRM. This is leads. This is people you want to connect with. This is somebody you want to know for your future, you know, getting a job. This is how people get jobs, right? They send notes to their friends and say, hey, I'm looking for something. You got anything? There's endorsements in here. So you say, people will say, you know, I endorse Leo in radio or in blogging or in podcasting. I================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ because I said to myself, I'm never going to look for work again.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't, I think I don't have, well, God willing, I will never have to look for work again. Mm-hmm. But but then I find it incredibly valuable. The connection's incredibly valuable. And for somebody who's in the workforce, this I think this is a very valuable network. I know that their growth has slowed, but they're almost half a billion users, 433 million monthly active users.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 430 whatever million users. It's like it's 105 I think active users.
Oh, okay. I misread that then. Well, that's not quite as good. But maybe Microsoft can bring it back, right?
We haven't mentioned another part of LinkedIn that's very interesting to Microsoft, which is lynda.com.
Yeah.
Lynda.com, a lot of people don't realize LinkedIn bought them a year ago for $1 billion. And Microsoft sees lynda.com as a way for doing more online learning and training, talent development. So they're also very interested in that piece too.
Yep. And of course, LinkedIn, I should make a disclaimer, is a longtime sponsor here at Twit. We're fans. I know Linda Wyman. And now Microsoft has initiatives like that.
They do. Microsoft Virtual Academy, and they do a lot of things around
that. Linda has studios. They do a lot of production. They have a very accomplished work, you know, very good workflow, an accomplished team.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that's a value too. A lot of Xamarin courses.
Yep. SharePoint.
SharePoint courses. That's right. We've talked about it on the show. Yeah. I dare to say, even some Hadoop in there.
I've heard that.
Yep. So, I don't know. I it makes sense to me. I mean, it's not my money. I'm not writing a check for 26.2 billion. I think we got the number upside down. 26.
It's a lot of money. And I think that's the thing a lot of us are still a little confused about at the end of the day, right? I mean, you can justify the reason why they might want LinkedIn. I think we have. And it's a lot of money. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but in business, networking is everything. You know, one of the reasons I rejoined is because that's a way for me to talk to some of these people and get interviews and or get connections. If you're in sales, man, you got to have this, right? I feel like this is, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult for people who are not in business to understand, I guess would be my point. What happens to Reid Hoffman, who is the genius behind... And widely regarded, by the way,
right
as a brilliant, forward thinking,
Well, yeah, he just got $29 million.
No, but he's well liked in the Valley, yeah. and really yeah. seen as a brilliant guy. What is mm-hmm. is he gonna stay? What is gonna happen to him?
Recode's reporting that they're hearing he may be named to the Microsoft board.
That would be a good move.
Interesting. Yeah. Yep.
I would. You know, I think they'd be glad to have him on the board. I would guess.
Well, yeah, the whole deal.
For one thing, he sold his company for $26 billion. That's pretty good.
I know, right? Yeah.
It seems like he's going to have time to sit in on a few board meetings.
Yeah. You know? He might. Yeah. Yeah, so the whole deal, they're expecting it to close by year end if it meets all approval, including LinkedIn shareholder approval.
Yep. I think this is, you know, how much would be reasonable if Facebook were even for sale, you'd spend... I don't know what, 200 billion, a trillion.
Well, I mean, they have over 10 times the active users.
Yeah, but this is the sweet spot of active users. These are users. These are the Microsoft doesn't care about my mom or my aunt.
They're the Apple users of the user base.
These are the ones you want.
Yeah.
No, it's almost as if you said, I would like to cherry pick exactly the users out of Facebook and make them mine. This is how you would
There's something to be said for volume. I mean, you can kind of, you know, spam advertising out to a lot of people or whatever. But
you're right. As far as people buying.
Some people do. But yeah, you're right. I think the quality of the LinkedIn user base is the highest by far of any of the social networks. Yeah.
Can't wait till that Xbox One interface for LinkedIn. That's going to be nice.
Yeah. A lot of us were joking about that.
The 10-foot experience.
Lean back, LinkedIn.
Lean back and update your resume. It's a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get 3 new jobs, you get an achievement.
The other thing about social networks, you know, one of the kind of truisms that's been floating around forever based on the fact that MySpace lost so rapidly to Facebook is that you're only as good as you know your users allow you to be. But I think we're in a newer era. I don't see Facebook losing its incumbency because it's because of critical mass. It's so hard to build that network effect. And I think LinkedIn's in the same boat.
Oh, and by the way, if they ever do, it's because the messaging thing became so big it doesn't matter anymore or whatever. In other words, people are going to be communicating with each other, interacting in a different way.
Right.
I think you're right. Yeah, Facebook is...
Well, and I think LinkedIn is a similar situation.
A couple of years ago, if you had said to me Facebook was the next big platform, I'm not sure I would have laughed at you, but it seems far-fetched, and it's kind of interesting today how things have changed.
So if we say, instead of LinkedIn, we say Facebook for business, I mean, how much would they pay for Yammer? Over $1 billion, right?
Yeah, $1 billion.
Yeah, it was $1 billion, yeah.
And that was in the years when $1 billion meant something.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, but
last year, yeah.
It might have been 2 years
ago.
Years.
It wasn't 2012, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how many users did Yammer have? Right.
It's tiny, and they didn't, and they frankly have not capitalized on it.
No, they really haven't. In fact, I argued at the time to those guys because I used to talk about the SharePoint guys back in the day that, you know, they had all those pieces already in place. In fact, as SharePoint. I don't remember the version numbers anymore, but whatever the version was that they were coming up with at the time, they had just added social networking features to SharePoint. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking at the time, you're just buying the same thing again. It's almost like they were eliminating competition.
Right.
Yep.
But you know what? Biggest acquisition in Microsoft's history. It's a big deal.
This is interesting. Go Blue, who's listening to us on Twitter, just said, think about using HoloLens with LinkedIn and lynda.com. I'm like, yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. Like you go into a meeting or you're talking to somebody and you have your HoloLens on for some reason. And up in the corner, you see, hey, this is the guy you're talking to here. And lynda.com, obviously all the training that you could do using a HoloLens. Very interesting synergy there.
I think if you're baffled by this acquisition, it's because people think of Microsoft as a company that makes products.
Yeah.
And I think Microsoft is, with this acquisition and many other things they've done, clearly signaled it isn't about the products anymore, is it? It's about, I don't know how to characterize it. Ultimately, it's about the network. Isn't it what Sun used to say? The network is the computer.
I don't know. A different network is the computer.
They said that for years. I didn't really understand it.
Yeah.
But I think it was a deeper understanding. And I think that this is kind of Microsoft's way of saying the network is the computer. The network is more important.
The network is the soul of the computer in a way. I mean, it's Frank said, it's the thing that lights up the online services that Microsoft has, the graph.
Right.
know, all the stuff that's
so, yeah, the graph is the network, right?
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
This is the data. And I think it was Mary Jo who used that in her headline. You know, why did they buy LinkedIn? It's all about the data. I mean, that's the simplest way to put it.
But not in a kind of trivial way like, oh, they're going to mine the data and use it to sell you or stuff like that. I think in a much larger way. It's, big data is everything these days. That if you're talking about deep learning, machine learning, big data is everything these days. And Microsoft what did they just buy? But big data.
Yeah, there's only a couple of companies who can do the right thing with this stuff. And the other one would probably be Google. But would be Google. And you might want to throw Amazon in there, but probably not yet. But definitely Google, definitely Microsoft. And that's pretty much the end of the story. You know, and maybe part of the price, for all we know, maybe there was some discussions going on with it would have to be Google for it to make any sense. I mean, who else would want to buy LinkedIn?
Yeah. I don't feel like this was like keeping it out of somebody's hands.
No, I don't think that was the whole story. Yeah. But at some point, this made sense right now.
Yep.
You know, I know their stock price kind of nosedived over the past 12 months. I know there's been some talk about too much of their compensation being stock-based, and that had something to do with it or something like that. But the timing is probably not coincidental. And I don't think that's the story either, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, because they were starting to look around, you don't want them to get too far involved with someone else.
Yeah.
Because there's only, like I said, who else could afford this?
Right. Wow.
And want them.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other company I could think of is Facebook.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. Of course. Yep. Okay. Fair.
You know, Facebook for work becomes LinkedIn, right?
Well, that's Facebook, what Facebook
would ruin LinkedIn.
Facebook probably would make the argument, no, we're already killing LinkedIn. That's why LinkedIn is failing. And so we don't need it because we've bested them already.
Although they could use more puppies and kittens on LinkedIn. I
that's why I like LinkedIn.
Pictures of dinner, you know, no business puppies. Dinners.
No kittens. All right. I think we've done this to death.
Yeah.
Paul's baffled. Leo's excited. Mary Jo is, as usual, trying to keep us from fighting each other to death. No.
Like the Three Monkeys.
And you know, if you are conspiracy theory minded, you would say, well, oh yeah, there you go. Now Microsoft can really invade our privacy, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I can't.
I know.
Do you
know,
think there are people out there saying that?
Do I
yes,
think?
Yes, there are people out
are
there saying
Are you kidding?
That.
That's what our chat room's saying.
Yep, that's what everybody was saying on Twitter on Monday.
Wow. I just want to know more about
us. Well, listen, ignorant people. Let me tell you something.
There's a deep-rooted, and I hesitate to disparage it, but there's a deep-rooted concern about corporate privacy invasion going on right now. People are really worried about it.
Well, at a company level, sure. I mean, I'm not even sure I think of that as privacy so much as, you know, protecting your core assets or whatever. I mean, it's not really about individual privacy, is it? Isn't it more about protecting?
Who knows? I can't.
Well, it depends how they evolve that feed, right? Like if they make it a feed that you could also just have privately inside your company, only for your employees.
LinkedIn for right.
LinkedIn. LinkedIn on-prem.
You know what?
Then you want to make sure that stays private.
You know what? That's an interesting play. I didn't even think of that.
I think they will do that. I think they'll have the public feed, and then they'll offer to companies the same way they have Delve now.
You can
they'll
offer
have
visibility
feeds.
On
That's how they make money.
Right.
Because that's a per-seat license. Yeah. That's an annuity. That's, you know
right.
what?
That's like another service that complements Office 365.
Perfect, right? Isn't what Yammer was supposed to be.
Pretty much.
They need to grow over that 100 million number. That's the issue. You know, they talk a lot about Skype and the success of Skype and getting Skype integrated into everything. And, you know, people who use Skype sort of know that it doesn't really necessarily work all that great, especially in the places where they're just adding it, like on the web, which is terrible. But they've never been able to grow the number. You know, the number of active Skype users hasn't gone up or changed in years, supposedly. Which suggests to me it's actually gone down and we're just not hearing about it. I mean, you would hear about it if that number went up. And I find that to be kind of strange. So, I mean, you don't want that, you know, this thing to stagnate in the same way.
I'm sure that when Satya went to the board with this, that was the first thing he said is we think we can recoup the entire investment just by doing an enterprise on-prem LinkedIn. And then we get all this other additional value. Mm-hmm. I think that,
I would like to spend 4 Nokias, please.
Well,
I mean, it's basically like Slack in a way, right? It's like Slack for your company.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it will certainly tie Yammer into it, right? They haven't killed Yammer, have they?
No, well, it's still there.
Tie Yammer into it. LinkedIn doesn't have a messaging. Yeah. Maybe it does. I don't think it has an instant messaging component.
I think it does. I've sent people private messages.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. In fact, it has a very labyrinthine way of contacting people, and they have to, you know, you can have different levels.
Yammer does?
No, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's one of the ways that they get people to pay for LinkedIn is control of that.
Sure.
And you can, even if you pay for it, you can see who's looked at your profile.
Wait till those guys start using Skype. They're going to want to change jobs.
No, but I do think that you could offer an intranet based on LinkedIn that would be
I think they already have that in place in a way with that SharePoint Yammer stuff, and so maybe this is something they're going to want to integrate all that stuff. And listen, I think we're all looking forward to another couple of years of integration, so that'll be fun.
Yep.
So that will be good luck with that.
Let's take a little break, come back. We got lots more to talk about. Microsoft was at E3, and yes, indeed, Paul knew it, but he wouldn't tell us last week. But then now he's revealed the Xbox One S for shrunk. The shrunk. Xbox shrink. Shrinky dink. But first, a word from our sponsor. I walked in today. It was so nice. You know, I get about a four. I miss my commute, which sounds like a weird thing. Because I used to drive an hour each way, maybe sometimes two if the traffic was bad. And I actually miss it. Because I haven't done that in years since I started doing the shows out of Petaluma. It's a 5-minute drive over here. So in the last month, I've been walking, which is like my commute again. It's 45 minutes each way. Suddenly, an hour and a half of reading. I am so happy. It's good for me, but it's also great for my reading. It's audible.com. I am a huge Audible. The Guns of August. This was a great book. I'm sure you read this. You could get this.
Actually, I haven't.
Oh, classic history of World War I. By Barbara Tuchman, who's one of my favorite historians. So,
Leo, I get all my World War I info from Battlefield, so thanks.
Actually, if you want to read about the medieval, the dark ages, this is great, A Distant Mirror. I did read this. History, of course, but Paul also, he's a big history buff, but he also likes the mysteries, the science fiction, the Stephen King.
Yep.
It's all here. What are you reading these days?
So actually, it is a Stephen King book.
I had a feeling.
Mr. Mercedes, it was an awesome book. It came out, I think, 2 years ago. And then last year, there was a sequel to it.
Yeah.
Whose name is now Finders Keepers, which is the name of the detective agency that the people in the book start. And then End of Watch just came out. And this is the third and final part of the storyline. It's a trilogy. And it's awesome for a number of reasons. The story's great. You know, the characters are all, carry over. It's a continuation of the villain from the first book, which is kind of awesome. And it's read by one of my very favorite audiobook readers, Will Patton.
Will Patton's great. Let me play a little bit so you can hear.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Z, January 2016. 1. A pane of glass breaks in Bill Hodges' pants pocket.
I love playing these clips because I want everybody to understand this is not your robotic voice. It's not even a human reading kind of in a mechanical way. They get really good actors. And
he is a great, he's an actor. He's a famous actor. He's great. Yeah.
The books come alive. And he does a lot of Stephen King stuff. And
yes, he does.
You might say at first, well, that's a little weird, but it grows on you to the point where you hear it in your head. It's so awesome.
Yeah. He's one of my top three, I guess. I have three guys that I love.
Yeah. He's fabulous. So why are we talking about it? Well, because we're going to get you a free book. All you have to do is go to audible.com/windows. The best way to do Audible, the way Paul and I do it, is with a subscription. We're going to set you up with a gold account. That's a book a month. Great way to get started. And the nice part of this is your first month is free. So pick a book. You'll also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. By the way, these are recommendations. And I have to say, Audible does a really good job based on my other purchases. That's why it's recommending A Movable Feast, Hemingway's Story of Paris, because it sees I like Paris. Guns of August, because it sees I like history. This is the Patrick O'Brien Gold. I never heard. Oh, this is The precursor. Oh, thank you, Audible. Let me add that to my wish list. So here's the deal. You can see the first challenge is picking one book. But go there, pick a book, then go to audible.com/windows and sign up for that. Oh, hackers, if you've not listened to this, this is the classic by Stephen Levy. You've got to, if you're into technology, you got to hear about the early days, the beginnings of this at MIT, and just great stuff. Audible.com/windows. Your first month is free. Cancel anytime in the first 30 days. The book you pick will be yours to keep forever. It's the other thing I like about Audible. If I go to my library, every book I've ever bought on Audible, with a few exceptions if the publisher pulls it or something, but almost every book I've ever bought is here, and I can go back and I can listen and enjoy again and again. It's your bookshelf on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. And yes, now you can listen on any streaming device, including a Chromebook. Oh, The Life and Times of Nikola Tesla. Oh, Randall Monroe. Oh, man, they do it to me every time. Audible.com/windows. The first one's free. All right, continuing on. You know, we were covering, this was very bad timing, Apple's WWDC announcements on Monday. So I didn't get to follow Microsoft's.
I flew on a plane across the country on Monday. How do you think I feel?
Yeah, they seem to do that to you. They announce stuff just when you're not around. They wait
it was a big day.
Plane. Yeah. So what do we see at E3?
So I'd like to approach this from a Mary Jo Foley angle, if I could. Microsoft finally released an Xbox that will fit in Mary Jo's apartment.
Oh,
you know what? I saw that. Yeah. I was like, you know what? That's the first one they've had that actually might fit in my apartment.
Here's the bad news.
As, you know, you could put a plant on top of it or whatever. Like, it would just probably, probably fit in somewhere.
You need a TV.
You know, like right that shelf behind you.
Right.
Maybe.
You still need a TV, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you could display to your computer monitor.
Oh, yeah, you could hook your computer monitor.
Yeah, I could.
Have it do double duty.
That's
right. So the Xbox One S, this had been rumored. 4K, not only is it, what is it, about a third the size?
Yeah, or it's
a third smaller. 40% smaller.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know, there were plenty of problems with the original Xbox One. It's too big. It's too loud. It's, you know, it's got an external power brick, which is itself loud
and big.
It's humongous. And
they've
so
got
it's
rid
not,
of the power brick, which I can't.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
So they seem to fix a lot of those kind of issues. It doesn't have a Kinect port on it, but they'll give you a free adapter so you can use it over USB, which is how it works on Windows. So. Okay. No worries there if you want to use Kinect.
Okay.
It's priced right, $299, great price compared to $500 for the original Xbox when it first shipped a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago. It does 4K video for both, I can't remember the exact name of it, but the 4K style Blu-ray discs, as well as for streaming services. And they said that Netflix and Amazon would be ready at launch at least, and there'll be others, obviously. That's great. It's going to do HDR graphics. I don't know if that requires a special screen or if that's something that just happens. You may know the answer to that one, but it will do HDR. And they showed off.
My guess that you would have to have one of the new HDR TVs. The new UHD TVs also do HDR, but they're also the 4K. And so this is designed for the new TVs, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So what else am I hitting on here?
HDR, by the way, Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, says HDR is huge, that you really want this.
Yeah, I think the combination of HDR and 4K is going to be, this is going to trigger TV upgrades, you know,
it's,
as well as the
it's
console.
Tempting
so that's
me,
nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what the fan noise is like and the heat and everything, but hopefully this will be a much better living room solution than the existing console, which is kind of a tough fit for most people in the living room. I mean, even in here in the morning, I can hear the power supply. When I use the console, the plastic fan, tick, 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 tick.
Your power supply makes noise.
Yeah, I actually had it replaced. There are three Xbox Ones in my house, of course.
Wow.
And all of them, to some degree, make noise. I have really sensitive hearing. I think I have, like, dog hearing or something. But when I come in my office in the morning, my office is completely silent, except for the power supply of the Xbox One.
Hmm. And what does it sound like? Like a fan or?
Yeah.
Is it buzzing?
It's a very small. Yeah. Yes.
Is there a fan in it?
I think that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Holy cow.
I know. Holy so God. The next time the electrician comes, by the way, I'm actually going to put in a power port in the cellar below my floor. So I'm just going to string the thing. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope it solves those problems. It's prettier. You know, this white. I believe a black version is coming, but it's white for now.
I actually like the white.
You can stand it vertically, yeah. Which is neat. Like Xbox 360 did that. The original Xbox One does not for some reason.
I don't care about that. That doesn't, you know.
Well, some people, you know, like that kind of thing. They improved the controller in a number of ways.
So did you get to play?
I didn't go. I had already booked my travel, and I decided not to worry about going to the show. But if you're familiar with the Elite controller, you know that the handles, the grips on the controller have kind of a textured feel to them. And it's one of the 100 reasons why this is better than a normal controller. But the new controller, which is just now the standard controller, which, by the way, they've renamed to Xbox Wireless Controller. They used to call it the Xbox One Wireless Controller. But now I think because Xbox One is the only Xbox, they're just calling it Xbox. And, of course, that makes it a little more sense. A little more sense for people who are buying it for Windows, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem to be only for the console, that one console. It has more reliable thumbsticks, which is a big deal. The thumbsticks are the things I always ruin playing Call of Duty. So over X number of months, I will destroy the thumbsticks on any controller I've ever used, except, by the way, on the Elite controller. So far, so good on this one. They've improved the wireless range, which is big. They've added Bluetooth connectivity, which is the same way that the PlayStation 4 controller connects to the PlayStation. But in the Xbox One's case, it's only for Windows. And the reason being that a lot of Windows computers have Bluetooth capabilities. Now you can use it without a dongle. And so for the console, you'll still use whatever the proprietary wireless connection scheme is. And I think that's about it. And so,
will it come with the adapter for the Kinect? Because I do want to.
If you order it, you can get it for free. Okay. You have to ask for it, I think.
Okay. I just used your affiliate link to pre-order.
The adapter I'm not sure on, so I'll have to look. Microsoft has a place where you can get that for free. If you own a Kinect, either because you bought it for Windows, or you just had it with your previous Xbox,
you can use it. Frustrating. I have a 3 terabyte hard drive connected to my existing Xbox One, so I really would prefer to buy the 500 gig version and just use that. But
yeah, it saves some money.
December 30th is.
Well, no, I don't think
that's
correct.
That's just Amazon.
They're not shipping that after Christmas. This is just a placeholder date. All right. The real date is at the end of August.
August, yeah, which is great.
Yeah, that's going to be the real date, I think, for all of them.
For all of them? Maybe I should change my order.
So there is, obviously, the 500 gigabyte is a standard size Xbox One today for most consoles. There are 1 gigabyte versions, like you can buy the Quantum Break bundle has a white console. 2 terabytes is new, and that's kind of neat for people who just want as much space as possible. It's not super expensive storage, which is kind of cool. You don't pay a huge premium. It's $50 for each jump up. So I give them credit for pricing this thing right. That was probably the number one complaint about the original Xbox One at launch, was just how expensive it was.
Yeah.
And it really seems like they got it right this time. I don't have any complaints about the price.
That's the same as the PS4 price, right? $299.
$299, yeah, for the base one, yeah. So they also announced this, what they're calling Project Scorpio, which is that next-gen 4K gaming plus VR console that has also been rumored.
Yeah.
And Project Scorpio won't ship until holiday 2017, so about 18 months from now. Obviously, it will have some name, you know, whatever the name is. We don't know how VR is going to be added to it, if this is via existing PC-style VR solutions like HTC Vive or Oculus Rift or whatever. It's hard to say, or if it comes with something. We just don't know how they're doing that. What else? It will do 4K gaming in addition to 4K video. So it is exactly what everyone thought the PS4K would be, but yep. Xbox. And so, you know, we'll learn more over time as it happens.
Yeah. This is
speaking
good.
Of fog of war. Really, yeah, really good, I, this is really all good. Good. I'm really excited about this. The only thing that could screw this up, I guess, is if this thing ran at 300 degrees in your cabinet and made a lot of noise, but... When has Microsoft ever made something like that?
Well, usually, though, these things get quieter and cooler as time goes on.
Yeah, because, right. And you know, the component price comes down. But the other thing that happens with electronic components, of course, over time is they get smaller. And they're able to make a single chip that does the work of 3 chips or whatever. And so the whole thing runs cooler and, you know, it gets more efficient over time. So kind of neat. The one thing to think about, too, with the Xbox One and these new models is that over time... when you look at a typical 8-year cycle on a video game console life cycle, the Xbox One S is hitting roughly at the halfway point, right? And these two things are roughly both hitting at the half. So it makes sense that they would do a minor upgrade. They did an S version of the Xbox 360 at about the same time. Actually, a little bit later, but about the same time. And then they're going to have the life cycle by having this bump like halfway through. So kind of a TikTok type thing, which I think is really smart because the Xbox One Project Scorpio, whatever that thing is called, will play all the same games like we've talked about.
That's next year's.
Next year's, yeah. It doesn't obviate your investment in Xbox One today, which I think is really special. And I also think it's really smart that they pre-announced it, even though the details are a little thin, because they're giving the people who might want to buy this or might want to wait or might want to do whatever they might want to do all of the information they need to make a good decision today. And so you, knowing this thing is coming next year, you can make a decision about whether you want to buy an S, stick with the original one, or stick with whatever console you may have. Very transparent, very smart. I think it's the right strategy. I also think by not relaying too much information about Scorpio, they can kind of wait on Sony to divulge what they're going to do, because Sony is also working on a 4.5, 4K, whatever they're calling it, version of the PlayStation. They declined to reveal anything about it at the show this year, but you have to think it's coming in about the same time frame. If it's not shipping this fall and they're going to do PlayStation VR instead, it will ship next fall.
Yeah, the timing is interesting on the S, right? Because if it does really start shipping in August, it makes a it makes it a possible back to school kind of thing.
Yeah.
It also gives Microsoft a piece of hardware to sell at holiday, because we don't think they're going to come out with any new Surfaces this year.
Right.
This is the Project Scorpio video.
Yeah, Phil Spencer. So the other thing that's good about this, too, is there's a real change in the vibe at Xbox that occurred literally as soon as this announcement happened, right? Because these weren't the guys, literally, but this was the team, this was the part of the company that really screwed up the launch of the Xbox One, and they've been kind of backpedaling and trying to fix things ever since. Not quite as bad as Windows 8, but that almost that kind of thing where there is an understanding that we need to fix this. And they can fix it over time by debundling Kinect, by lowering the price of the existing console, which they've done a few times. And they can do it by this stuff. And I don't think there's been any controversy about any of this stuff. Like, this has been positively received. There are no gigantic things to complain about or even minor things to complain about. Not really. You know, they're not doing TV DVR, I guess, you know, as we talked about last week, I think. But this kind of gives you an idea of what their play is, and also really good visibility into the final half of this thing's life cycle. And it's such a better story than was the case with the Xbox 360. Because with the Xbox 360, basically, you knew they were going to do more efficient versions of the console, and they did two of those. And then they did Kinect. And Kinect was interesting for about 15 seconds, and that was kind of the end of that. And this is a much more interesting thing. And not just for the consoles, but, you know, the Windows 10 integration, which we should touch on, and some of the other stuff that they announced at the show. There are big Xbox Live improvements. There's custom-designed Xbox controllers you can make now for just $20 extra, have any color scheme you want on those things. And they're the new controller. That's really cool. And then the cross-platform stuff as well. And so I guess they're not winning sort of in the console war or whatever, but they're obviously a credible player. And this stuff makes it so much more interesting and positive than Xbox has been in a couple of years, or more than a couple of years, 3-4 years. So that's great.
So they also dropped the price on the existing Xbox One by $20. So.
Of course, and they're gonna and they will probably drop that more until they're gone, I think. I mean, I think that right now, the theory maybe is they're going to keep both in for a little while, but you know that thing's going away,
right?
Obviously,
should people not buy the Xbox One S and say, "Well, I'll wait for Scorpio"?
So that's my tip. I'll do that.
Okay, save that. Save that.
Yeah.
The answer to that question and much more coming up. But game compatibility across the board, and that's kind of important.
Right. This is the thing. I've been talking about this for a while. You know, people, it's weird how people get stuck on these traditions, which are very short-lived in the video game world, obviously. But, you know, we can't change a console in 8 years. That's the promise.
Right.
Why? You know, why can't you ship games that will work fine and look great on the original version of a console, but will look better on an upgraded version of the console? And the interesting thing is, they're doing it in a more granular way than I even anticipated. If you think about the difference between a sub-1080p console like the original Xbox One and then that 4K gaming, whatever they're calling it, Project Scorpio machine, there's a big jump in there. But in between those two things is this S machine, which actually does have a slightly faster processor, a slightly faster GPU to accommodate mostly the 4K video streaming, but also these HDR gaming capabilities. And so you really have three levels of game quality that you could ship on a disc or deliver digitally. You know, the original version, the S version, and the VR version. Let's call it the 4K version, whatever. There's no reason that can't be one. It's not three different games for three different consoles. It's one game. And that's the type of scalability we've always had on PC gaming and on PCs in general. It should work that way on the Xbox, and now it does. Smart.
All right.
Plus, it will fit in Mary Jo's apartment.
Yep.
I read all these gaming stories this week because I kept seeing people saying Microsoft's working to turn the Xbox into a PC, or that Xboxes are now more like PCs. But I couldn't really figure that angle out from anything I read.
No, that's not really. No.
Like, what does that mean?
They're taking some of the best parts of the PC model and applying it to the Xbox. So I just described one of those, right? The notion that a game could be scalable. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if I try to play a game on my NUC, which is a low end computer with no graphics card, no dedicated graphics, it would play and it would be basic or whatever. But if I played it on my son's gaming PC, he could run that thing at 1080p or higher. It would be 120 frames a second. It would have crazy shadows and graphics and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the performance would be incredible. It's the same code. It's exactly the same game. There aren't two different versions of it. And so that's one way that they're making the Xbox more like a PC. People get hung on things like, well, when are you going to add keyboard and mouse support? Which, of course, they're going to do, but it's not so you can run Excel. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, maybe you want a game with a, you know, maybe especially on like an adventure game where, you know, that type of thing may make more sense or whatever. It's not about first person shooting or whatever, but obviously it's based on the Windows 10 core. So that's sort of like a PC, although honestly, it's more like server, right? Because it's a Hyper-V core, really. It's more like Hyper-V server than it is like Windows 10.
But then what about the idea of taking the Xbox UI and bringing that to Windows 10? Like, what does that mean?
I don't even know what that means. I mean, I don't know what that means.
Some people have said that, like, you take the Xbox dashboard or the look and feel and bring it to Windows 10. But I don't understand how that would work because there's
what would be the point?
Obviously a number of people who don't want it, who are business users, right?
Well, great. So you wouldn't use it on a business PC, but I don't even understand what the point of it would be. So what you're describing is a media center-like thing that would be a front end that would sit on top of Windows, and it would do, you know, it'd be with a remote or a remote controller or a hand controller, I guess. You could launch UWP apps that are entertainment apps largely or play games or something like that. Mm-hmm. But Windows is still under that thing. And so like with Media Center, every once in a while, you'd have to get, you know, there would be these pop-ups that would happen from the OS. It's still Windows. And so if they're not doing, you know, DVR stuff, I don't know what the point of that is. Mm. So I'm not sure. You know, they're using the same app model between the two systems, right? So the UWP games run on both. And that's, I guess, making Xbox more like a PC, but it's also making Windows more like a mobile device in a way, because UWP is a mobile platform. So it's kind of unclear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't, there's no need for, I mean, I would never want to add the complexity of Windows to the Xbox. I think the way they've brought features back and forth makes sense.
Yeah. And now when I think of it the opposite way, I'm like, oh man, I hope they're not adding Xbox to Windows.
I don't think Windows 10 is going to turn into an Xbox. I mean, it's.
No, they have their own niche and role.
They're doing cool stuff with the apps. You know, there's the Xbox app on Windows that's going to get, you know, more features. And I think we talked about some of that stuff last week, actually. Mm-hmm. They're doing cool stuff with the Xbox One Play Anywhere, where you buy digital games and it works on both platforms. And so I could sit here in my office and play on the Xbox One and get on a plane with a laptop, open it up, and start again in the same game at the same place because it saved it with the same achievements, and it's the same game, and you kind of go back and forth. And that kind of cross-platform gaming has been the holy grail for a long, long time, and not all games will do it, but a lot of them will. All of Microsoft Studio games will. That's cool. That stuff's all great. There's nothing, there's no bad news here, you know? A couple of years ago when the Xbox launched, it was like, yikes, what's going on? You know, but now this time, I don't see anything here that's bad. It's all, in fact, amazingly good.
Yeah.
I know. I'm so negative all the time.
You are so negative, boy.
The one thing I would say is, you know, the advantage of the Xbox One is its simplicity.
Mm. Yes.
And obviously that's why you don't want to turn it into a PC. But there might be a market, like the Chromebook market, for some sort of simple Xbox One style computing, Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
On a tablet or something. I don't know.
Right. In other words,
it's a lean back experience, though, isn't it? I mean, fundamentally.
Well, today it is. I mean, I don't know. You know, they tried that with Windows RT, right? Which was their, you know, kind of a touch first thing, but it was still Windows. And so I guess what you're describing is like a living room solution, but not, I guess it wouldn't have to be, where it's more of a, like you said, like a 10 foot experience or a lean back experience.
Well, it wouldn't
but
have
it could
to
also be a PC.
Right.
I don't know. Is there a mark? I don't, maybe. Maybe not. I mean, I wouldn't want to send my kid to college with something that was mostly a video game.
No,
machine.
No. It would be for old gamers.
Oh, so I see. So you're asking.
It's
you're
kind
asking
of a niche this, market.
So. Does it play all of the Call of Duty? Yes. I would.
But think about it, Paul. When you're ready for the home.
Yeah. I completely. I am. Let's be clear about that. There's a shawl on my legs right now. You can't see it.
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the Microsoft, the Xbox.com site, and they're now using that white controller as their kind of default controller. That's the new hotness.
It's, you know, Leo, it's cyclical, right? I mean, we go up and down.
Black or white. White's
Xbox
the new black.
One was all white, and then the black version came out. It was really cool, and
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So you can't customize your Xbox controller, kind of like the Elite, right? The new one.
No, not like the Elite. It's actually a full customization thing, and so you can go to this. Let me bring it up. It's called what is it called? It's called Xbox Design Labs. It's a website. So you can basically customize every panel on this controller, and so it's the front. See if I can get the exact list.
Oh, it's kind of like Moto Maker or something. This is like, wow.
The controller body parts, the back, the D-pad, the bumpers, the triggers, thumbsticks, the A, B, X, Y buttons, the view and menu buttons. You can add optional laser etching for another $20. So it's $20 to $30 more than the cost of a standard controller. It is the standard controller. It's the new one. It's the one that comes with the S. It will work with all Xbox Ones, of course. It will work with Windows.
Cool. Windows.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Did you already make one? You did, didn't you?
I'm making one right
now. You know what? So I didn't. And the reason is I don't need to. But this kind of thing is so cool. There are this might be the wrong name, but there's a company, I think it's called Colorware, that will do this kind of thing super expensive. And they do custom versions of Apple computers and things like that. But this is, I mean, look at this thing. It's
cool.
Customized to your heart's content, and it's not expensive. This is not a luxury thing.
It's an extra $10.
$20, but yeah, it's not bad.
You know what I like about it? I like having each controller look different because we fight over the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, Michael's controller can be pink and mine can be black or whatever.
Right. The only thing it's missing is a custom logo thing. If you could put like a...
Well, everybody knows who's colors.
T logo on that thing.
Nintendo does this, though. You know, we have like Mario Wiimotes. And, you know, they have different characters of style. This is really, you could customize the whole dang thing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I think I've made a lovely.
Also, at the end of August, so you can pre-order this now. It's end of August.
This is lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the pink. Going with the pink. Yeah. It's, you know, pink's the new black or something. So every bit of it can be customized.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. $80.
Yep.
Save, baby. Save that. That is attractiveness embodied. The embodiment. Wow. Oh, my gosh. You'll know whose controller that is. This is what I'm doing so that no one will use my controller.
Yep.
Right.
Wow. I have combined retro pink with lightning yellow, glacier blue, oxide red, photon blue, and abyss black in an amazing masterpiece.
Eventually, like there's going to be a Microsoft garage site that will analyze the colors you chose and tell you something about yourself.
This should be my LinkedIn avatar, right? Oh, wait a minute. Add laser engraving. Almost forgot. There is a place you can add your name. Oh, I'm going to say hands off Leo's controller. Oh, you can't get that much in there. It'll say Leo's controller. Yeah, it's time for that. Look at that. See? So, Paul, for another $10, I can.
Right.
Oh, add my gamer tag. Wait a minute. That's even better. Add my gamer tag. Now. See? Oh, you're not seeing it. I'm showing me. Oh, I want to look at that. See, it's right down there. Chief Twit Leo. Look at that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
My gamer tag is just my name, so that wouldn't look so great.
Oh, you could say hands off. Polly Baby.
Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. Nice. Oh, and there's even a gallery. I could share it to the gallery. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of people want to see what I have done with my controller. Let's rename this.
Maybe they'll do this for the Surface Pen someday. Let people make their custom colors with little...
Yes. You know, I feel like some breakthrough in manufacturing technology happened because Motorola was doing this, right, with the Moto Maker, and you get your Moto
X. I love the Moto Maker, and this is just like that. And to Mary Jo's point, I mean, could you imagine if you could do that for Surface Book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Why not? There's
people would be all over that.
It's some sort of just-in-time manufacture process they got going here.
Sure.
Right? Must have it.
It's neat. Yep. It's really neat.
Let's take a breaky-wakey, and then we will wakey-bakey or something and come back and talk. No, that's wrong.
Not
in California. Are you still in Colorado?
No.
All right. We will come back and talk more about Microsoft-y things, including the slow approach of the anniversary update. Minutes away, ladies and gentlemen. First, a word from ZipRecruiter. If you're in the position of being the person at your job who hires, then you ought to know about ZipRecruiter. It's the best way to hire the right person. And that's the key, right? We want to find the person who's going to just make this company just take off. ZipRecruiter makes that so much easier, makes your job so much easier by, first of all, making sure that the most people see your posting, right? If you post it in a corner and then you say to the boss, oh, well, I posted it, but nobody applied, that's no good. You want to put it everywhere. How about 100-plus job boards with one click of the mouse, including all the social networks, Twitter and I bet you LinkedIn. I'll have to check. So what's cool about this is once you do post, let me see, is Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus? I wonder if LinkedIn's on here. Once you do post, the candidates don't come to your phone. They don't call you at your office or home. They don't email you. It all rolls into the ZipRecruiter interface, which means it just makes it easy for you to rank everybody who comes in, screen out the ones you don't want, and hire the right person fast. See how it says new? Here's a new one. Here's a new one. In fact, you'll start getting candidates right away because they have over 6 million current resumes in their database. So they're going to start matching you up really quickly. 800,000 businesses now use ZipRecruiter. We just hired our new editor that way, you know. We just hired a new editor, ZipRecruiter. That was the way to do it. We love ZipRecruiter. It just find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Some of the biggest companies in the world are using it. We use it, and I want you to try it free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/windows. 4 days free. That's actually enough to really to find somebody. It's that fast. It is LinkedIn. I see it right there. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Try it free right now. I think you will love it. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Windows Weekly. We're talking July 29th, baby. A day that will live in celebratory history.
Or infamy.
Or infamy. We don't know yet. Depends what happens. It is the, of course...
You know what I'm imagining after July 29th? It's going to be like when World War II ended and there were Japanese guys left on islands and still fighting the war because they didn't know it was over. And what I mean by that is it's going to be August 15th or September 7th or something. And we're going to hear stories about people who were forced upgraded to Windows 10 because they had been putting it off or something and it just happened, even though that's supposed to end. Right? Don't you think that's going to happen? It's going to be after July 29th.
I'm very curious what's going to happen with that after July 29th, because they said they're taking away the Get Windows 10 thing, but they still haven't said what they're going to do about recommended updates.
But if you don't update by July 29th, it'll cost you $110.
Yeah, they can't force upgrade on you.
It's over. Well, unless they change their mind, right?
Yeah. We don't know still. Like, I keep asking them periodically, like, so what about people who... you know, can get it and have it in their queue or didn't get it correctly installed or whatever. And they said, we're going to tell you more closer to July 29th about that.
Surprise.
Yeah.
We've decided to make it free forever.
You know what? I think
this is never going to
I don't think they'll do that.
Battle Cam in our chat room has it right. He says, starting July 29th, it's going to flip. You're going to hear about all these people bitching. They don't get to upgrade.
Oh yeah, you will hear that.
That's going to be the new. That's going to be the new complaint.
That will.
Hey, yeah. I want my Windows 10 free.
That definitely will happen.
That's an extremely perceptive view of the internet. That's absolutely.
That's exactly right. Whatever we don't have,
people say, I didn't know it was ending July 29th.
I didn't even know it was for free. Why didn't anyone?
Exactly.
Why don't they advertise this?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little pop up in the corner or something. It'd be nice. Twitter, don't ever change. Yeah.
You'll have to do, okay, so easy enough to have the authentication server just stop automatic authentication on July 29th. Mm-hmm. But you have to time that. See, this is tough because you could say, you could easily push out on that for first, second Tuesday of July, kill GWX.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody updates.
Right.
And there's, guarantee you, there's going to be somebody who on July 30th, It downloads, installs, and then asks for money or won't activate. Oh, that would be worse. It just won't activate. Say, congratulations, we've wiped out your authenticated Windows 7 or 8.1 with an unauthenticated Windows 10.
No, I don't think they would do that.
But how do they stop it?
Every time we say they're not going to do that, then
this is a tough computer science problem. How do they stop it?
It really isn't.
Good question.
But I'm giving it. They're going to make it seem like one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they did say that the Get Windows 10 thing isn't going to just stop on July 29th. They said it'll take a couple weeks to gradually fade out. They did say that.
That's what I mean. The war's over. Why are we still fighting this? I don't know. We'll see what happens.
There'll be a grace period.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be away in August this year, so I'm going to be home to bear the brunt.
You're
going to
get all this. Yeah.
How about a 6-month grace period?
I don't think they'll do that.
Like if you had, let me think.
Well, it's only been free for a year, right? I mean, a 6-month grace period.
No, it won't be that long. 3 months. But it will, but not everybody will qualify. Only the people who before July 29th downloaded the installer or used the GWX. I don't know. They got to figure this out.
I had a guy ask me, what about the people who wanted to get Windows 10 who couldn't get it to install? Are they going to be able to get it for free after July 29th? I'm like, oh, man, there's so many scenarios. We can't even.
There you go.
Yeah. So we don't know the answer on that.
I don't know if they do, although it's getting close. It seems like they're going to have to solidify this.
They're
going
to have to start seeing it. Yeah. Now.
Yep.
But we are getting closer to the anniversary update. That may happen on July 29th. Or it may not. True. It may happen around July 29th.
They get that guy from Big Bang Theory who's running along with people showing him PCs. They just get him to run along and say, upgrade or else. It's over. Goodbye. Maybe just do something like that. A lot of ads.
Right.
Yeah,
because if there's anything this the thing needs, it's more ads.
All right. Well, here we go. Anything to talk about with the new Insider build or anything? 14.366. You and I installed it during the show last week.
Actually, they shipped it earlier.
This is a new one, right?
Oh, wait a minute. There's another one?
Last night. Yeah, this came out last night.
Oh, crap. I updated yesterday for the patch Tuesdays, and now I have to update it in. Oh, man.
Yep.
All right. Updating.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot in. There was a build 14.366 for PCs and 3.64 for phones. And there wasn't a lot of new features in either one. I think Paul wrote about the new extension for Office Online. That's kind of the one new feature that's in there.
And they said that thing that I've been waiting for them to say, which is this thing's winding down. So you should expect much less in the way of new features and then eventually no more new features. Right. And we're going to fix bugs. And
that's great. The way this zipped across my screen, it can't have been very big.
No.
It was like 2 seconds.
Right.
Mm. All right. So it's just minor. So in other words, we're almost done.
There's lots of fixes. Yeah, tons of fixes in this one. Still some known issues in this one. And now they're having insiders help them with the bug bash. So they're definitely getting into the final stretch for the anniversary update.
Do you think that Windows 10 Mobile anniversary update ships day and date or whatever we want to call it with the PC version?
That's a great question. And also Xbox One anniversary update.
Okay, so that one I do know the answer to.
You do?
We can go. Yeah, because it's funny. Xbox, for all of the integration, really still does things their own way, right?
Yeah.
And way I met with them in New York a few weeks back, and we talked about this. And so they have this summer update, and then they have a fall update. And two of the big things that are changing along with that is, remember that Xbox is, for a while now, has been doing monthly system updates. Not every single month, but almost every single, probably 10 out of 12 months in a year, they've done updates. They're going to stop doing that, at least until the anniversary update is over. And they're going to ship, and they're going to focus on these two big updates. And so we'll see some preview release updates, you know, in between that are kind of beta versions. But the way they described it to me is that anniversary update is divided into two pieces. Some of it happens in the summer. And some of that, of course, dates back to the original Windows 10 release, like Cortana and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then the second piece is the fall. And they said that those two things constitute the anniversary update.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because when I asked them this question, mm-hmm. I said, is the Windows 10 anniversary update for Xbox One going to be out on July 29th? And they said, the only thing we are saying is this summer.
Okay. Okay.
So I guess that's just piece one.
Oh, another way. Okay. So the summer update, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It may not ship July 29th, right?
Right.
In other words, we don't know the exact timing of it. I'm sorry.
No,
they didn't tell me. They didn't tell me that either.
Yeah.
But they did
and
say
Windows Phone, we don't know either. Right. We don't even know if Windows Phone is going to be the exact same day as the PC version.
So it would be nice for them to do that, to get these things lined up. I think Rafael told me that HoloLens is also aligned with Windows 10 for PCs and with mobile. Although we don't really, you know, we certainly don't have a like an insider program and this number of releases and so forth for HoloLens. Mm-hmm. But you could almost imagine them doing that, right? They have been aligned on the build numbers for a little while now, and this week we're a little bit off, but you can see they're very close. And, you know, there have been mobile updates all along. And so the way they lagged behind with the initial release of the system was kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I think it would be nice for the people who are left that care about this kind of stuff for this thing just to kind of ship out the door at the same time. So I kind of hope that they do. And I if I were betting on it, I would never bet on this, but
I'm going to bet they will do it the same day.
Yeah, I would. Yes, that's what I was trying to not say, but yes, I think I do think they're going to as well.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this from the unwashed, untutored me. Well, I'm washed, but I am not tutored. If I update and I've not been on any previews for phone, Xbox, or Windows 10. I guess Windows 10 is not going to look very different. Will Xbox suddenly look really different? I mean, will it, like, I wake up and go, wow, I got a big update?
Oh.
Not for phone or a desktop, right? Those are pretty close.
All right. So I didn't see any UI changes like that.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So most of this is really under the hood or minor little details and things like that.
I'm sorry. That's not true. I did see a UI update. I'm sorry. I have, because I'm on the preview program, I kind of assume things have already happened. So actually right now if you're on the Xbox preview program, you do have the new UI. It's not a dramatic change like that fall update they had, the November update they had last year. They've just kind of fiddled around with a couple things. But the biggest change, and I think we might have talked about this a couple weeks ago, and again, because I'm used to it, I kind of stopped thinking that most people don't have it. The Xbox has retained this kind of panoramic view of UIs where you kind of scroll left to right. And in this new update, they're going to a more of a vertical.
Yeah.
So there's
I must have that new update because I don't go left. Well, wait a minute. Maybe I still go left.
Well,
or right.
There's still some left right. I mean, there's the main tabs at the top, which are, you know.
Okay. I still have that.
Games, apps, whatever. That's still there.
So if I go to the store, it's to the right. All of my apps, all of my pinned stuff, all of that is up and down.
Is up and down, but including some of the UIs are going to be up and down as well. And so, for example, the new store app, which used to be integrated into the dashboard, is an app, and that is it's a vertical UI. You don't go left, right like you used to. If you go into your list of games, on the Xbox One today, it kind of goes out in a panorama, and it's, you know, it's a little hard to kind of navigate it. And now it's a vertical grid of game artwork, and it's just, I think it's a more natural form of navigation. I think it's just something people, when you interact with an electronic UI, you're just kind of used to this kind of thing. You know, if you think about the home screen of a phone, it's vertically oriented, portrait-oriented. Yeah.
All right. I'm asking because I, like you, I can't remember what it used to look like.
Sorry, I completely boffed that because I forgot I have it. So if you're not on the preview program, the UI shift for the summer update, I think, is fairly subtle. okay. although important in some ways. Is there going to be a similar update for the fall? I have no idea. I don't know. They haven't talked about that.
So we've already had the big disorienting change, which was that more vertical look. Yeah. It's just going to get even more so.
Well, you know, people, it's funny. If you think about the way, most people won't be able to conceptualize this, but if you think about you boot into the Xbox and there's a home screen. It has a big panel for whatever game you or event or whatever you did last time. It's right there. But you want to go to your pinned items. So today in the Xbox, what you do is you click the right trigger. That goes down one full screen and it's right there and you can see it. But the problem is it's below the fold. So if you don't know to do that, you might be like, well, where's all my stuff? And the way they've changed it in the new UI is it's actually over to the right and you can see it. It's still one click.
There's a little edge
it's
over
funny
there.
Because now you hit the right bumper or right on any of the controller type things. It's still one click away, but now you can see it.
Yeah, until so I discovered that right click.
Yeah, the right trigger thing was like the best tip ever for the new UX.
Once I discovered that, it was all made sense.
Yeah, but now it's changing.
Great.
I guess a lot of people complain because they couldn't see it.
And Windows Phone isn't going to – Windows Mobile's not going to change that much to 10. That didn't look like
much. No, it really hasn't changed that much. I mean, it's getting more mature. It's Windows 10 shipped in incomplete state, remember, in last July, especially like Microsoft Edge. Windows 10 Mobile shipped in very incomplete state in January, whatever that was, March or whatever. I mean, it really kind of got pushed out. I hope with this release, these things kind of catch up to each other. I think that's really important for the platform. So
I'm really happy to report that I can now use Edge as my full-time browser and do.
Yeah.
I changed it back to my default and I like it. I mean, now that I have plugins.
I'm experimenting. Yeah. There's still a couple of things. I pin a lot of web apps to my taskbar. I bet maybe not 50%, but 40% of what I do through the taskbar are web apps. And that's something that Chrome does. It's something that IE did. It's not something that Edge does. And that keeps my Edge usage down a little bit. But as far as, pure web browsing, I'm trying.
They should do that, huh? Didn't Google say they're taking that out of Chrome? They had a standalone app system so that you could run the apps even if Chrome wasn't running. You could just click that taskbar icon, it would run. I think that's going away.
That would be very disappointing to me, Leo. Please tell me that's not true.
All right, it's not true.
Thank you. I'm going to be using IE11 like an old time. It's just stuck with that functionality.
The thing about using the Edge, so to me, it's kind of like on the Mac where the native browser is Safari, but I keep using Chrome. But if you use the native browser, in this case Edge over Chrome, it really is more native. It
does a much better job of scaling with the UI, which I love. It does a much better job of rendering text and graphics, which anyone would love. I mean, it's really nice. And if you're a fan of Chrome, it has the same kind of stripped down UI, except that the UI of the browser also scales better with the UI of the OS, whereas the UI in Chrome doesn't scale at all. It's actually kind of stupid. So if you have a really high resolution display and you're displaying all elements on screen at 200% or 225% or whatever, Edge provides a very natural looking, beautifully rendered experience, and Chrome doesn't. And that's that would be one reason to want to use it.
Yeah, Edge wins in aesthetics, Chrome wins in functionality, basically.
But with the extensions, that gap is going to close.
It's going away. It's
what about speed in the previews of Edge? Because in the non-preview version of Edge, it's slow. But it that may be because of ads.
Right.
Boy, it's really sure slow.
Really?
I literally just started doing this.
Crushingly slow on my laptop.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but it may be because of ads. It may be because it's always loading ads.
Yeah, I have already put I shouldn't say this, but I've already put
an ad blocker.
On there. but it may be the smooth scrolling is one of the things that makes it feel slower, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's funny, you can really screw. I spend so much time in Chrome and I spend so much time trying to make Chrome work well on the devices that I use. That you can do all this scrolling functionality you can kind of configure for Chrome, and you can this scrolling functionality you can configure in Windows, but they're never going to be right, mm-hmm. And it's Edge is because it's just part of the OS. It provides kind of a silkier scrolling experience, if that makes sense, especially on a trackpad-based device. We're using like two fingers to, like a Surface Book, for example, which I used over the weekend last weekend. It's really pleasant to just browse for things.
I love using my finger on this.
Yeah,
the reading mode is really nice for Edge.
Yeah, and that's something that Chrome doesn't come with. Because that Google doesn't want you not to see.
Reading. Why do you want to read? Don't you want to see the ads? Come on.
Yeah.
Let's get real.
I use readability in Chrome, which is okay, but God, is it slow. You know, and the reading mode feature in Edge works great.
Yeah. Actually, I've just seemed to have frozen. Oh, there we go.
Yep.
You know what? There might be the slowness you were seeing. It took me a while to load that article. It's from MSN.
You installing the new build?
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Oh, yeah.
That could be it.
Multitasking. Let's see. I just finished updating, so I have to restart now. Good catch, Paul. It was thinking.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to fix any problems.
It was thinking, and of course that's
you probably want to get it.
A little sluggish. I am installing the update, and it's any minute now. It's still doing after the update, check for update. And as soon as that's done, I'll restart.
There's so many things it does that are not updating.
Now, you have a note in here about a product I didn't know existed. Microsoft OnePay. What the hell is that?
So OnePay was supposed to be their alternative to Android Pay and Apple Pay.
Oh. Never heard of it.
Yep. Never happened.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
They talked about it at WinHeck last year, and they made it seem like it was imminent, and we kind of thought maybe it would be in the November update of Windows, and then it never was. And then we've heard nothing about it until just a couple days ago. I saw Windows Central said, hey, there's something coming with Tap to Pay, and we think it's going to be in the anniversary update for Windows 10 Mobile. I'm wondering if it will be in that update just because we're almost done testing that update at this point, and it isn't there yet. But they made it now sound like it might be just Microsoft Wallet 2.0 has NFC Tap to Pay. It's not in the operating
system.
There's
so many buts.
You don't need a beta test payment system. So you just roll them out. It's just
we don't know on that one.
When Windows Phone 8 was a new thing, and so this is going to be, 3 years ago-ish? They had a wallet app, and at the time it was really interesting because Apple had their very early. Actually, they had Wallet right before Apple Pay, and Google had actually Wallet before Android Pay, and Microsoft's Wallet was a superset of the two. It was actually the best of the three, and you might have noticed things have gone in a slightly different direction since then. And the Wallet app that was part of Windows Phone has been kind of de-emphasized and detuned in some ways, actually. And so this is, I don't know who they're serving by doing this. It's overdue. It's great they could do it. But my understanding, based on, again, of just the kind of leak stuff we've seen, is that this may only be for new devices, meaning if you upgraded a Windows Phone 8 phone, you may not actually be able to do NFC-based electronic payments.
Right.
So we'll see. I hope they get it in there, and I hope they get it in there in time for the anniversary update. That it doesn't ship until the fall.
I know. Well, or later, right? I mean, Redstone 2 is next year.
So he's saying Microsoft's Wallet was made by Cub Scouts with GIMP at camp. Actually, you could also probably blame the carriers a little bit for this because they don't want you. They don't want you guys to have wallets. They want to have their own wallets.
Sure. And what I want is my carrier's wallet because I want to store my money and payment elements with my carrier. who would I trust more than them?
Absolutely.
The people who hide things in my bill every month. They're perfect.
I think Verizon finally gave up on that. I think the last straw was that they renamed their Verizon wallet to ISIS. And,
they did.
Yeah. And I think at that point, they probably realized,
Hezbollah taken or what? What was the thought there?
Hezbollah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
nice job.
I think they probably at that point said, okay, you guys do this.
Yeah.
What really happened, I'm sure, is that Apple had so much clout that they were able to force this through. And then Google said the same.
Plus, the banks have to be part of this too, right?
Exactly. And users voted big time. So at this point, probably Microsoft says, yeah, we can get into this. We can do this.
Yeah. So we don't really know when that's coming or what form or
You know, it's funny. As Windows Phone has failed, some of the things that were blockers in the past are suddenly not a problem anymore.
Right?
So one of the big worries, but that benefits the people who are using the platform. So, for example, we couldn't get the carriers to ship updates to save our lives. And now it's no problem at all. Now it just happens, you know, no problem. Mm-hmm. And maybe that will be the case with this e-wallet functionality, you know. Yeah. It was a big fight before. Remember when when it launched 3 years ago, whatever, the only wireless carrier in the entire planet that supported it was Orange in France. That was the only where you could get it. And I remember at the time they said, yeah, it's coming to the U.S. eventually. It's coming here eventually. We're doing, you know, and it's just never really happened. So if you were French and wanted
a phone
and it was summer 2013 or whatever, you were in good shape.
So we always talk about the fast ring and the slow ring, but
then there's the reverse ring.
This is the backwards
ring.
That's me,
the reverse ring.
next week you're getting Windows 7.
Exactly.
Hey. Congratulations. Your machine is compatible with Windows 7.
Stay on it long enough, you'll be doing Start Me Up with 95.
For those not testing, there's a new cumulative update for phones and PCs.
And they just shipped those on Patch Tuesday. There's no...
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, there's no new features
fixes,
per se.
Right. Security updates,
not
fixes.
Not a hot fix. Not a service pack. It's just...
But again, these cumulative updates are important because if you were to clean install Windows 10 next month or whatever, you don't have to go... You know, it's not like Windows 7. You don't have 161 updates. You just do... usually a handful.
Yeah. The roll, so it's a roll-up. Mm-hmm.
It's a cumulative update, Leo. It's not a roll-up. I don't know where that term
came from. It's not a fruit leather.
It's not a service pack.
Okay.
It's not a feature pack.
There is an actual team at Microsoft called the Holoportation team.
There is.
Do they all wear
We don't know how many of them are left.
What? Are they on HoloLens or are they, what are they? Holoportation. Yeah.
Holoportation, Microsoft showed this in a video, I think back in March. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was you, and they also showed it in that video that we saw recently about HoloLens, right, and virtual reality. This is when you can have yourself look like you're in the same meeting space with someone else who's wearing a HoloLens or a virtual reality device.
This
is
the designer doing her store.
Right.
And then, yeah, okay, I remember that. Yeah.
So Microsoft Research had a team that was building this called the Holoportation team, and there were a lot of people on this team. We just found out, thanks to the walking cat, our buddy who finds all the good stuff, that that many members of that team, plus Jeff Hahn, who is the founder of Perceptive Pixel, who Microsoft acquired when they bought his company a few years ago. They all left.
Whoop.
And they all went and started this new company called Perceptive IO, which is going to make some kind of new device.
Their stock must have vested. Oh, my God.
I know. They all left, all at the same time, boom, and went to Perceptive IO.
Clearly, they got their options are all vested now, and they said, okay, thanks. So long.
I'm sure the guys from LinkedIn won't do the same thing.
No, never happen.
Well, it was funny because a lot of times when people do this kind of thing, when they all leave en masse to go to a stealth startup, they try to hide this. And these guys were very public about it. In fact, I found, thanks to Walking Cat, all their updated bios on LinkedIn with all kinds of information.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
LinkedIn, it's a reporter's friend.
It is. I use LinkedIn as a reporter tool a lot.
All the time. Exactly.
Great. So we don't know what this new company is really going to do. We don't know what their connection is, if any, to Microsoft. Microsoft's not talking about them all leaving. They're not talking about what they might do with HoloLens going forward, but it makes it sound as if there might be some connection between
those two
things.
Well, that would be good. Microsoft, I'm sure, would love to see third-party companies spring up around HoloLens. That would be very good.
Or maybe they buy them and they buy Jeff Hahn back, get him again.
Another 3 years,
Mm-hmm. Bring him in as a consultant.
Perceptive IO.
Yeah. So Perceptive Pixel was that company that made those giant touchscreen monitors that then became the Surface Hub ultimately. Yeah. So Jeff Hahn was leading the Surface Hub team and now he is at Perceptive.io, this mystery company.
They're all going to end up over there. Panel Spin A, will it be the next hire?
They're in San Francisco. That's interesting.
They are. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's the place to be these days.
So they say.
So they say.
That's why they bought LinkedIn, so they can move their corporate headquarters
actually,
to San Francisco.
Actually, you know what? At least one of the articles I read said that was one of the benefits is they have their yep. Mountain View, that there's some real benefit to being in Silicon Valley.
So you remember why Bill Gates moved Microsoft to Seattle area from Albuquerque, right?
Why?
Not just because he was from there.
And no income
because
tax.
It rained so much, it would make the people stay inside.
It wasn't nice.
Because in Albuquerque, yeah. It was sunny every day.
Right.
And so naturally people wanted to go out.
That's so funny.
Not that there's anything to do in
Albuquerque. Well, you can't say that for San Francisco. There's lots to do.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe something that Microsoft even wanted to have happen. It may not be a negative because... Mm-hmm.
Microsoft has had Bay Area facilities for many years.
They have plenty
of places.
I'm just talking about the holoportation team.
Sorry.
Holoportating to mountains.
Yeah. Well, they could be anywhere now. They don't have to have. They don't even need a physical
right.
building.
That's the whole point. That's right. That's right. Microsoft. I can't get my brain around this. So Microsoft has invested in Cyanogen, which makes a mod ROM for Android, and actually a number of companies use Cyanogen mod. Not OnePlus One anymore. They have their own. In fact, they just released their OnePlus 3 yesterday, and it's got their own Oxygen OS on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what Microsoft's interest even in Cyanogen was, but...
I think it's a foot in the door of Android, right? In fact, an Android that is not particularly Google-focused.
Right.
You know, which I think that's what it is. I don't think they at any time so far they've said this is our Android strategy. But I think they understand they need to hedge their bets a little bit, and this is one of those areas, you know, because you never know. And maybe this is something that becomes a bigger deal in the future or not.
Well, if you're still using the OnePlus One, which is now a couple of generations old, you can get Cyanogen 13.1 with what?
With all these Microsoft mods, which is kind of crazy. A Skype mod, a Hyperlapse mod, a OneNote mod. Microsoft's building all these mods for Cyanogen. That's their deal with them, that they were going to build custom.
Why do they call the programs mods? Are they like optional installs or...
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's confusing, right? Because there's two different ways of using the word mod, right? The ROM mod and then these mods, which they call a mod-ready program.
I'm confused. Yeah, Cyanogen mod is called Cyanogen mod because you modify your phone firmware to use Cyanogen instead of the stock Android.
Yeah, so it's not installing an app. You're literally impacting the operating system. That this is some sort of integration level that's deeper than installing an app, I guess.
Wow.
Right, so the pictures they show, it's like having Skype be on your lock screen, and that like Skype is your lock screen, kind of. Right?
Who wouldn't want that? Skype is on my web browser. It's awesome. Just like, seriously.
So it's kind of a lock screen mod.
Right. You pick which lock screen mod you want, and then...
I see.
Like, if you wanted Skype, the Skype dialer, or if you wanted Hyperlapse, so you could have time-lapse video.
You could have Cortana on there. Have they replaced Google Now with Cortana? I mean, I believe they have, actually.
Yeah. I think that's one of the points
I think they
of
were saying they were going to if they haven't already.
Yeah.
So Skype, okay, I understand now, because Skype becomes the dialer.
Right.
Hold on a second. Go back to that guy. Is that guy riding a motorcycle and using Skype on a phone?
And taking a selfie.
I thought of that, too, when I saw that.
Yeah. Okay, just the type of person.
What the funniest thing is, he's got his girlfriend holding onto his waist, but he looks like he's talking to another woman.
This is the moment where, exactly. So she's like, "I'm here, by the way."
This is trouble. I think this guy lives on the edge. Is clearly what's
on a
going
number
on.
Of levels. Yeah,
yeah. His name is
actually
Aaron
the most
James.
Dangerous thing he's doing is using Skype.
I thought of the same thing though. I'm like, is that guy driving?
It really is weird.
Wow. He might just be parked on a Vespa, for all we know.
They
could have chosen any image for this picture.
Well, it's two young people having a great time talking to their girlfriend or something that we don't know. Okay. what's going on.
I don't understand.
I think it's polyamory, and it's really what Cyanogen Mod is all about, ladies and gentlemen.
The polyamory mod.
Oh, and here's the woman he's talking to.
Oh, curiously,
in
the exact
same.
She's
kind of angry.
Well, or is she?
Maybe it's his sister. I think you people are really...
Oh, it's his sister. Honey, that's my sister.
Oh, go back up again. That explains this Cortana mod right underneath that photo.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Cortana mod's been extended to the lock screen for easier access to all you need from Cortana without having to unlock your device. This, by the way, is a big part of what Apple announced on Monday, was the idea that you can do a lot of what you do on the iPhone now without even launching an app, just right from the lock screen. This must be a trend.
Which, by the way, is what Google's been doing for 3 years. I mean, a lot, whatever amount of time. I mean, sure. Hmm.
There you go. Cyanogen Mod, a Microsoft company. Actually, no. They just have.
I was going to say that. No,
that would be funny.
Or as Bank America described it, one of the Microsoft companies.
They're not really. Microsoft has an investment. And probably this is the payoff, I would guess.
Well, but
I don't
Microsoft
remember if they actually. Did they invest in the end, or was that a rumor? They partnered with them, but I'm not sure if they invested.
We'll have to invest.
Where are they based out of? Some
Cyanogen?
God's seller in Romania. What is this company?
Where That's are these a question.
I thought they were California now.
I don't know where they are.
Romania,
a Linux user could love.
I was a big Cyanogen fan. I'm a Cyanogen fan. And we've talked to the guy who started Cyanogen many times on the shows. Mm-hmm.
Does he have a hipster beard and ride around in a moped with his girlfriend? Is that the guy?
That's not the guy.
No.
I don't think they really have. They located anywhere.
Yeah, maybe they're looking too. There's like all these different things.
Yeah, they're a virtual company.
That's funny.
Virtual.
Yeah. They're a virtual company.
Yeah. Well, they got in a lot of trouble, remember, because they did a deal in India. Yeah. And OnePlus said, wait a minute, we have a exclusive. And then OnePlus dumped them. The whole thing was ugly. Wait a minute. Getting things ready.
Yep.
Getting things ready.
It's all good now. By the way, one of the launcher names on Cyanogen is or was, actually still is, Trebuchet.
Trebuchet.
Which is an awesome name for a launcher.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Which also was a Microsoft code name, guys.
It's also a Microsoft font, guys. Trebuchet MS.
Wow.
No accident.
Wow. Full circle.
Trebuchet's doing double duty. Or triple duty. Blockchain, baby. It's all about the blockchain.
Yeah.
Man, I've been waiting to mention the blockchain.
This is kind of a cool code name, too, even though it's not my code name of the week. Project Bletchley.
Ooh.
Like Bletchley Park, you know. Bletchley.
Yeah.
Yep, like of course. Bletchley Park.
Where the Enigma code was cracked by Alan Turing.
Yes. So this Project Bletchley is Microsoft taking what it already has with Azure Blockchain as a Service. It's already something they have is blockchain on Azure. They're going one better now, and they're kind of creating a whole ecosystem around that blockchain as a service, and they're building out what it would look like if you built out the ecosystem for enterprises. So they're adding in some things that they're calling cryptlets. CryptLets. Cryptlets are supposed to be this piece that's missing right now from the blockchain ecosystem that will let you communicate between Azure and other public and private clouds, and then other middleware that enterprises might want to use with blockchain. So a lot of people just think of blockchain as kind of the bedrock of Bitcoin, but in reality, it's a lot more, and enterprises are finding uses for it because it works like a distributed ledger. So it lets you kind of reconcile all different kinds of records, and it just isn't only a Bitcoin thing, although many, many of the companies that are interested in it are in banking and finance. So Microsoft today published a white paper all about Project Bletchley that you should take a look at if you're somebody who is interested in using it in more enterprise ways. That's what Bletchley
is. I listened to everything you just said, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's how I feel when you talk about... things like
I don't
like
know what this
Xbox.
Is. This was my initial response to Azure was the same kind of haze.
Right.
You know, I heard it. I mean, you were making sense. Right. I don't mean it like that.
No, I understand what you're saying. Go look at the lovely architectural diagram.
I'm probably not going to read the white paper. I'd just be honest about that.
No, but there's a good picture there that shows you.
There is a good picture, actually. I like the cryptographic one-way hash is like something from, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or something. Yeah.
Great. Right. There's even a picture of the HoloLens in that picture, which is kind of funny. I can't do justice to this white paper, but, oh, Paul, you'll be glad to hear this. They're going to talk more about Project Bletchley at the Worldwide Partner Conference.
Yep, I know.
I'm get to hear
stuck
more.
There the whole week, so that'll be great. Yep.
Woo!
Okay.
Blockchain is the single most important revolution in the entire history of computing.
All right, I'm just going to say this because I think you'll all appreciate it. This year, blockchain is 2016's data lakes.
Oh, whoa. That's a big statement.
I can't believe you said that clearly. Paul, you are not in on the ground floor of Ethereum, or you would be all about the blockchain.
Yep. I'm coming at it late. There's no doubt about that.
Haven't you invested in the Dow, man? And I'm not talking DOW.
Ledgers.
I'm talking DAW.
DAO,
man. The DAO. Yeah.
The DAO of blockchain.
Yeah. If you think of blockchain as a distributed ledger, secure ledger system, that might be the best way to think of it.
That is a good way.
And that really wakes Paul up, I know, when I say
you know,
that.
I watch these TV shows with my wife, and we miss half of it, right? And we're watching it, but I feel like I literally just today at lunch, I said, do I actually black out when we're watching these shows? Because I have no idea what they're talking
That's
about.
That's how I watch Game of Thrones and I go, who's that?
Yeah.
What?
Also, please.
Where did he come from?
You can't watch that show and not have like a wiki in front of you.
I know.
This guy was, he was on the show.
I am your brother. I own the castle, but I'm not allegiant to you anymore.
It's a guy we have not seen in 4 years. He looks completely different. How come you don't know who he is? You know, I know that show is infuriating like that. It's very complicated.
We have your brother, Edward Stark. Who's that? I don't know who that is. We're going to kill him. Go ahead, kill him, because I don't know. The little
brother we all forgot.
What?
And why is he 18 years old now?
Yeah. He looks like the guy from 24. Is that the same guy? Anyway.
No, I didn't.
No, I'm just kidding.
By the way, when that kid came back, I literally said the same exact thing.
Who's that?
He has a brother?
He has a brother?
Another brother?
Who's that guy?
Didn't remember him.
Edmure Stark. I'll kill him. I don't care. I don't remember him either.
Oh, the rest of them. What's the difference? Okay. Sorry.
Guys, I know about Game of Thrones is there are beers that are Game of Thrones beers.
Yes.
Oh, and I think I told you my awesome bit of trivia about this, that my local brewery was given the opportunity to make those beers, and they were too lazy to do it.
Are you kidding?
I didn't tell you this?
Yeah.
When Game of Thrones was launching in the United States, they went to a couple of local breweries in the Boston area because the PR company that was doing it was from Boston. They were one. They rebranded some of their beers. They put new labels on them, and they had events in like Miami, Los Angeles, wherever around the country.
Yeah.
Everybody loved the beer. So they went back and they said, we're going to do Game of Thrones branded beer. We're going to sell them nationwide. And they were like, yeah, that's too much work. We're not doing it.
Oh, man.
And Oma Gang's doing
wow.
it. And it's
Oma Gang got the contract. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Blue's Brew was too lazy.
That's
wow, man.
Someday when you come here, I will take you to there. They have bottles of it there that you can see that
they never made.
Listen, they won't sell their beer at the Boston airport because it's too hard driving in.
Well, I understand that. Actually.
I admire that. That's called craft beer pride.
That's just amazing.
And new enterprise improvements coming. Oh man, let's bring it right back on track with some more exciting news. New enterprise improvements coming to IE 11 on Windows 7 and 8.1.
That's actually Paul's item.
Why,
thanks.
Paul?
Thanks for dumping that.
Why would you write that item?
Okay, so I added it to the show notes. I assumed you would want to talk about it, but I didn't. Neither one of us actually wrote about this. So.
No.
Okay.
We can just say that's...
Moving right
that's,
along. That's the story. I just told you the story. Microsoft Dot What is that? Is that a typo? Microsoft Dot updated to support real-time heart rate. You mean the band?
Yeah, it's just a tiny font, Leo.
It says band, but very, very small.
Exactly. It's a 1-point font. Microsoft. Yeah, so if you do high-intensity interval training, right, that the theory being that you work really hard for a minute and then do nothing for the next week and a half.
I do
which is exactly what I do.
Mm-hmm. 7 minutes a week. That's it.
Yeah, so this – and now the band – I don't know if this update's actually gone out yet or not. I think by now it probably has, but – because these the updates always lag the announcement. But it will – in the – let's see if I can find the exact places. The run, bike, and exercise tiles. We'll all measure those intervals because part of the deal is you want your heart rate to be 80 or 90% of max for some amount of time and then for it to go down. And this will provide you with a real-time view of that. So you just can look at your wrist and see it. But you can also get vibration-based indications when you hit those zones, right? So you know how hard it is if you're on like an elliptical or a bike or something. You're racing and racing and racing and you want to hit that amount. You have to kind of... Hopefully it has like if you have a chest strap and it's something accurate, you can stare at the number on the machine. But if you don't, you just have to kind of wing it. And so this gives you a more accurate way to do that. So,
you know, they ought to integrate this with Alexa because Alexa will walk you through a 7-minute workout.
Yeah, that's cool.
That would be kind of cool if it could say harder, work harder. You're not working hard enough or stopping. Yeah, you're dead.
Yep, like you're dead. Yeah. Are you calling 911?
I'm calling. Yes. I believe you're having a heart attack.
Yep.
I feel like it every time I do one of those things.
Yeah.
Burpees. Is there anything they can't cure? Finally, that was it. We're done. Finally, it's time for the back of the book, which is coming up in moments. But first, a word from Atlassian. If you are on a team... You probably, if you work with developers, have already heard about Jira, which lets you assign, track, and manage tasks for any project, no matter how complex. That's how we first learned of Jira, was our new website. We use it now with our apps and also to keep track of updates and maintenance. Jira is amazing. We also use Confluence to create and share content, organize results, bring team members up to date. That's our engineering team uses it to document equipment and work processes. Then we also use HipChat. We are a HipChat, all-in HipChat organization. Not only does Russell have all our web and server integrations built into the HipChat engineering channel, that way we can see notifications from Panopta if our servers go down. If there's a DDoS attack, we know instantly. It messages us, and that's the nice thing about HipChat. It works on every platform. I get messages all the time. We use it to do booking, to prepare shows, to keep track of the new studio build. I'll tell you what, I'm glad Atlassian is along with us on our new studio build. We use it like crazy. And then there's Bitbucket, which allows you to test, review, and manage code in real time. Atlassian is the greatest, and you can get started with them for free if you go to Atlassian.com. See how Jira and Confluence and HipChat and Bitbucket will give your team everything you need to organize, discuss, and complete shared work. We're such big fans of this. And we're not the only ones, of course. Everybody loves and uses at least one of these products, maybe two. Atlassian, Atlassian, two S's, Atlassian.com. Try it free today. Atlassian, helping teams everywhere team up to create what's next. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley have teamed up to create Windows Weekly, and right now it's time for what I call the back of the book, the fun stuff. We'll kick off our back of the book with Paul Thurrott and his tip of the week. Answering a question we all have.
Yeah, you had asked me earlier, you know, should I get an should one get an Xbox One S?
Wait for Scorpio.
And obviously, it depends on who you are and how involved you are in this stuff, whether you already own an Xbox One and so forth. And so I think as far as, you know, people who are Microsoft fans or Xbox fans, I mean, the no-brainer aspect here is that you're going to get one of these things, right? They're all Xbox Ones, and so they'll all run the same software. It's just a matter of timing. It's a matter of cost. I mean, obviously, if you can't afford to spend $300 or more, you're not going to get either one of these things anytime soon. But you know, for the people who haven't bought an Xbox One, I mean, I'd jump in at the S level. I would get this new one right now.
No, but I have I have one now. So now what should I do?
So for you, I would say wait. You know, I don't think unless so. You want to wait.
Well, okay. Here's the thing.
Yep.
If you're getting an HDR, you know, one of these new UHD 4K HDR TVs,
right?
You might want. Yeah. Now, you might want. Are we going to see a lot of HDR games? I mean, of course, the game has to be HDR and 4K, right?
I could be completely wrong about this. I believe they only announced one at the show, but right. I think there's going to be a lot. I do think that's something that can be added to games fairly easily. So
you know what? They've kind of missed the boat on that. Would have been good. Building in one of the new Blu-ray UHD discs into there.
Actually, it is.
It is?
It will do that, yep. Yep.
Okay, then that's the reason to buy it, because for $500, you could buy a Blu-ray UHD player. For $300, you get... So I'm going to actually get the Xbox, because as soon as I get a TV that can support it, yeah.
I think it was the PS3. When the PS3 first came out, it was actually cheaper to get a PS3.
Yeah, it was the best Blu-ray player.
Blu-ray player.
My Blu-ray player is still a PS3.
So, yeah, right. Yeah. So, like I said to you earlier, I mean, and I don't know what your living room setup is like, but, you know, one of the big problems with the Xbox One today is it's just too big, it's too hot. It's not the type of thing you can cram safely into a living room, you know, entertainment chest or whatever, and have it work properly and not be super loud. And I don't have one of these in my living room. I don't know that it solves the problem. I hope it does. I expect that it does. And so we'll see how that goes. But, you know, the other thing to consider is if you bought an Xbox One at launch, your warranty is expired. Right. And so I'm actually thinking, you know, for me, I might screw around with mine a little bit. So what I mean by that is there are no officially sanctioned ways to do this, but you can replace the internal hard drive with an SSD drive. And I might just do that just to do it, you know, just to play with it and see what that's like. It depends on where you are with the Xbox One, frankly, and how important this stuff is to you. The other thing about the Scorpio thing to remember is that we don't know how much it's going to cost. And when you look at something like PlayStation VR, which is one of the lower cost entries, we're still talking about several hundred dollars. And we don't really know how well it's going to work compared to these other solutions we've seen, you know, Oculus Rift and HTC Vive and so forth. So there's a lot of unanswered questions about the next one. And I think I wouldn't base my buying decision on that, unless you literally just bought an Xbox One and it's working great for you, and you know, 18 months, that's the right amount of time. It's really just kind of based on timing and so forth. The other thing to look at too, if the prices are too expensive, saving $20 and getting one of the existing Xbox One consoles isn't always a great idea. Although one of the console bundles has a 1 terabyte. Hard drive in it. And I think it's a hybrid drive, actually. That's a really good deal, even at $279. But I would expect those prices to come down even more over time. I think by the time the holiday season actually kicks in, I bet the current gen Xbox Ones are going to be gone. And if they're not going to be gone, then they're going to be very inexpensive. So, if you're a fan of this thing, you got to buy one. So, please use one of my affiliate links when you do. I pre-ordered one of these. You know. Yeah. Instantaneously.
And now you've given me an excuse to buy the TV that I've been just hanging out waiting for, the LG OLED 65-inch UHD with HDR TV.
So
only $4,500.
Yeah, not spending that much on a TV. But no. my kids and I, and not my wife, have been silently praying and actively working to ensure that our current TV dies as quickly as possible.
Yes.
So that we can upgrade.
Exactly right.
And it's one of those weird things. Like you turn it on and there's no volume. You turn it off, turn it on. The volume kind of fits and starts. You turn it off, turn it on, and then it's fine. You know, we think it's on the way out, but it's not happening quickly enough.
Right.
And
I'm hoping that
some combination of a new TV and this Xbox will be, you know, 4K Netflix, 4K Amazon Video.
You put me over the top with the fact that it supports Blu-ray UHD, the new format. That is huge. That's huge.
Yep.
It's almost as exciting as when my Xbox 360 supported HD DVD. I was all in on HD DVD. I said, this Blu-ray's never going to make it. It's clear that the movie studios have voted and they're going HD DVD.
I had the King Kong movie on HD DVD.
I have more than a dozen HD DVD discs that I can't do.
HD DVD was this generation's laser disc.
Yeah,
You know,
well, no, it's more like Betamax.
Yeah, Betamax. That's yeah. another example.
It's like going all in on Betamax.
So, well, some people did.
All right.
Okay.
So you think August 31st, or is that just a placeholder?
Everyone's saying that the two lower end ones are later, December. I think December is a placeholder date. Yeah, I think it happens sooner.
But August 31st is not. It's a genuine.
Is what they said, yeah.
Yeah, okay. End of August.
Close end of August. Yeah, end of August, yeah. I should say. It could be before August 31st, yeah. Is there even an August 31st? August is a 31-day month, is
yes, it? Yes,
it is. Okay. It's not like a leap year thing.
Not a leap year. No.
I'm like, what do you August know that 31st? We don't know?
I don't know. I can't keep track of the looks.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the ad duplex. Wait. Mobile. Oh.
Sorry, I have another tip. I'll make this one quick. I was lamenting the lack of Windows Hello peripherals. And what I mean by that is obviously there are like these little Chinese knockoff kind of things you can get. But, you know, Microsoft, why does Microsoft? Microsoft should have a whole suite of keyboard and mouse combos that have, you know, fingerprint readers. And I have no idea why that hasn't happened. Logitech should do this. Belkin, you know, big companies. So that hasn't happened. And maybe it happens over time. But based on some reader feedback, I went and bought a $25 dongle. In fact, let me just pop it off my computer. It's so hard to get off. Okay, maybe I can't. There we go. You're lucky I didn't just turn off my computer, by the way. Anyway, it's just a little dongle, as you can kind of see there. Plugs into a USB port, obviously. It makes a lot of sense on a laptop because, you know, you can put it in on the side. It becomes a very normal swipe. But basically, this gives you that fingerprint swipe login authentication thing that you can get on new computers that have this stuff built in. And so if you have an existing computer that you've upgraded or you bought a new Windows 10 computer that doesn't have a Windows Hello compatible, you know, hardware-based authentication, you can just get a little dongle. So it's $25. I'm not saying get this exact one, although it does work fine. But you can find them on Amazon and elsewhere. So that's something you can do. Now, Leo, I'm sorry. You had some sort of trumpeting.
It's I had time to get one, but did I go out and get one? No, I'm just going to still do it the way I did it before.
Oh, I screwed this one up. I can't use this for this. Oh.
Oh.
I failed.
Oh,
I well,
this is
all right. I'm
over.
I failed. So I'm still going to use this as an ad pick. This is not the ad duplex pick.
But it's not. It is not. Because I got the trumpet. Anyway, I'm ready. I got the ad duplex mobile app of the week.
All right. Mobile app pick of the week. I'm actually going to go with a couple of different ones. These didn't actually come directly from AdDuplex. I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed that I ruined this. But Microsoft is putting, Expedia, UPS,
yes,
and the Weather Channel have all released Windows 10 Universal platform apps on Windows 10, obviously. So phone and PC. I assume these will be huge in the coming week. I'm so sorry. I screwed that up. Anyway, they are available now. You should look at that stuff. My own app pick of the week is actually the Xbox app for Android and iOS. And this is the one that we have on Windows 10 already. So if you have a Windows 10 mobile phone or if you have Windows 10, there's an Xbox app actually built in. And they've moved that over to Android and iOS. It works. It looks and works exactly the same. It replaces that. Well, actually, there was a set of, what do they call them? Smart Glass. Glass, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. Apps that were, you know, they were okay. Like they were almost like remote control kind of things. But this is the full Xbox app experience exactly as you would get on Windows 10. And they're great. And those work good. And then just two small other notes that are sort of related to app picks. Starbucks and or Microsoft, I'm not actually sure who did it, but they released an Outlook add-in. And you can get that now. Somebody asked me online on Twitter why, you know, okay, so there's an Outlook add-in, but what about a mobile app? My understanding is actually Starbucks is working on a universal Windows platform app, and that should be out soon. I don't know that this would have been done, but I mean, it's probably not the same team of people that are working for this, but this isn't just about buying coffee from Outlook. In fact, that has nothing to do with it. It's more about, you know, setting up meetings, because a lot of people use Starbucks as their, second living room or second meeting space or whatever they want to call it. And you can actually integrate with Starbucks locations in Outlook as you're setting up a meeting. So you find out when everyone's free and you set it up for the Starbucks that's closest to everybody. And there's also functionality in there for giving e-gift cards. And for some reason, when Microsoft informed me of this, they did not send me any gift cards, so I'm not going to write about it.
No,
I'm
just kidding.
I'm just kidding. I would never be caught dead at Starbucks. I go to Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, and then the other one to mention is with this latest build of Windows 10, and we sort of skirted around this a little bit earlier, Microsoft has released an Office Online extension for Microsoft Edge. And I don't know, when I hear that, I sort of think, could this possibly be like an offline mode kind of thing in the Edge browser, that, you know, the kind of the way it works in Chrome? And no, it's not really that. It's basically just another way to access your documents that are in OneDrive or OneDrive for Business. You can't connect to both accounts at the same time, so it's one or the other. So from this little toolbar icon, you can access the documents that are already in there. You can create new documents. You know, it loads in the browser. It's basically a way on a computer that doesn't have any version of Office installed to gain access to your OneDrive content, the Office documents in your OneDrive, and to create new documents. But you have to be connected to the internet. It's not an offline thing. And frankly, I think for most people, if you have an Office 365 subscription, especially, you could just use the Office 2016 apps that come with that subscription. You could use the Office mobile apps, which are available on Windows 10 as well. I guess this would be for people who don't have such a subscription, but they do still use OneDrive. So this is one way to just do it slightly more seamlessly. But honestly, you could just go to OneDrive.com and it works fine. So I'm not 100% sure why you would want to use this, but it's out there if you want to do the better together thing. I think that's everything. I really screwed up that ad duplex thing.
Just when I had
we
the trumpet.
We even had the trumpet.
It's all ready for you, Paul.
Next time.
Stupid.
Next time.
Stupid.
I hate it when that happens. Well, the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for Mary Jo Foley's Enterprise Pick.
I get a trumpet. Yes.
Of the week.
Guys, you're going to like this pick, I think. There's this company called Licensing School that's based in the UK, and they have been working on a book about Windows Server licensing. Then they contacted me because they said, you know what, it would be cool if we could give a promo of this book for Windows Weekly listeners. So they are doing it.
Nice.
The book is called 335 Essential Licensing Questions and Their Answers.
Why are there that many questions?
Because if you know anything about Microsoft licensing, 335 is a small number.
It's a complex computer science question problem. That's why.
So this book that's out now covers Windows Server 2000 through 2012 R2. So if you have any of those versions of Windows Server and you want to know more about licensing, you should get this book. And if you do get this book, they're going to throw in the 2016 version when Windows Server 2016 comes out for £5. So the way to get the discount on this is you go to this site. It's bit.ly/ELQ WinSVR offer. That's the short link. So it's bit.ly/ELQ WinSVR offer. You enter the discount code WW20%. This is only good for 10 days from now, and you'll get 20% off the price of the book. So instead of $22, you'll get it for $17, and they're throwing in free shipping anywhere in the world. So if you're somebody who struggles with Windows Server licensing, I think you should get this book.
Very good.
It sounds like everybody.
We're going to have the whole explanation of this in the show notes if you didn't get that.
Very good. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as long as we're on a roll, it is time for the code name of the week.
Nice. Oh, another horn.
Oh, boy.
Code name of the week is Helix. And this turned out to be the code name for what Microsoft ended up announcing at E3 this week, which is gamers can buy certain UWP games once and they'll run on Windows 10 or Xbox One. We heard that name Helix a while ago and we didn't know exactly what that was going to be, but that is what it is. So if you hear about Project Helix or Helix, it just means that concept where Microsoft lets you buy the game once and you are digitally entitled to use it on either platform.
Nice.
I feel digitally entitled.
Yeah.
Don't you? I know.
Well, a helix is a, what is it, a spiral, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I picture it like a...
Right, you're on both like, platforms.
Yeah.
In almost the, like the infinity symbol, kind of like
yeah,
a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite.
Yeah. And finally, let's end the show with a light, flavorful raspberry saison.
So I'm actually doing this one.
Is this Paul's pick?
Yeah. So I went to Colorado over a long weekend, and the space between Fort Collins and Boulder is what I consider to be the Fertile Crescent of beer in the entire planet. And all my favorite breweries are out there. And I went to some of them again because I can't not go to some of them. But I also went to some new ones on this trip. I went to one called Crow Hops in Loveland, Colorado, which is new. It was good. But the biggest surprise, in a very pleasant sense, was a place called City Star Brewing in Berthoud, Colorado, which is near actually borders Loveland. So it's south of Fort Collins, south of Loveland, right south of Loveland. Off of I-25, and it's a tiny place. It's the whole bar is not much bigger than my, they have a bar out front, not much bigger than my office. But their beers were fantastic, and we did a lot of tastings around the area. And this was a wonderful, wonderful surprise. And the favorite, my favorite of the group was that raspberry saison, which is one of the best saisons I've ever had ever. Mm. And wow. Yeah. I know. It's sounds in the middle good. Of nowhere. I mean,
for summertime, yeah, guys, there's nothing like a Saison.
I know.
These guys get it.
So delicious. So refreshing. Yeah. I don't understand, though. It says a Belgian Saison with rye and aged on pressed raspberries.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? How do you do that?
You know how you age things in bourbon barrels or on wood chips or whatever? Yeah. So I guess you just let it. Aging on just berries, they just mean souring, right?
Are they in the barrel or are they under the barrel? Where are the pressed raspberries?
Where are those raspberries?
Inquiring minds want to know.
I don't know the answer to that, but
I know they came from the Willamette Valley, but where are they now?
They're in the Saison.
They're in the Saison.
And the thing, if obviously this time of year and all around the country, you see this kind of stuff. A brewery will take a wheat beer typically and add flavor to it. And you get this real blueberry flavor, strawberry flavor, watermelon flavor, whatever. And those beers are usually more in the miss than hit side. But this is nothing like this. This is
nice.
These guys, I what they're doing there, I don't know. It's a cute little town. Don't get me wrong. Population 213 or something. But it's... If you're ever doing a beer run up the I-25 corridor, and Mary Jo, seriously, you need to make this happen.
Yeah, I need to do this.
My favorite brewery in the world is Avery, which is in Boulder. And then also in the top five, Odell's and New Belgium and Funkworks and many other great ones in Fort Collins. It looks like there's some great stuff in Loveland as well. And then there's this place. It was wonderful.
Yep.
Paul T. says, one of the best saisons I've ever had.
Yeah, possibly the best. I mean, it was certainly up there.
Five, whatever those are.
That's crazy.
Gold stickers.
Five hoppy beer tops.
Hoppy beer tops. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we've come to the conclusion of this fabulous show, and all I can say is thank you for being here. And
can we mention two events fast?
Ow.
Oh, yes.
Yes, please.
Now that we're all deaf.
I'm so sorry.
My tinnitus.
I had no idea that would be quite so loud. That's much better. Okay.
There you go. That's better.
Whew.
Okay. The clown bicycle.
Yeah. Okay. June 29th, 2 weeks from today, we're doing Windows Weekly Live in the Microsoft New York City store again. On Fifth Avenue.
So this isn't next week.
No, it is not next week.
Okay.
Good. I won't be here next week, actually.
Okay, so good. You'll be here when we're doing it.
I'm going on vacation next week, and I believe we've got, I can't remember, is it Father Robert? I can't remember who's hosting the show.
Ironically, Aaliyah will be visiting the Microsoft store in New York City.
No, you won't. That's 2 weeks, right?
No, I don't.
Right,
I mean,
2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes, 2 weeks. I'll be here for that.
So, we'll be there 2 to 4. If you want to come, you don't have to RSVP. Just come upstairs to the second floor. Try to get there like 1:45 so you can get a seat. And then we're going to have a meetup afterwards at Rattle and Hum West.
Nope, no beer at the Microsoft store.
No beer at the store. But
no. They're very strange.
Rattlingham West, not the regular Rattle, which is 39th between 8th and 9th Avenues. So come and join us there, even if you can't come to the store.
Rattlingham West.
Be careful. Listen, don't show up at the other Rattle. I mean, you should go there.
You could.
Anyway,
you can just walk over, but yeah.
But yeah, we won't be there.
That's just so.
So I was
know.
At the Microsoft store yesterday, and they're excited to have us. The reason I was there is my laptop, I told you guys, was having some problems.
Oh, yeah, the Mary Jo Foley laptop saga. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I.
This is the one you screwed back together?
I know. I screwed it back together, and I kept still seeing disk failure messages, which is never a good thing to see.
Yeah.
I brought it into the store. They ran so many diagnostics on it. They spent hours, literally, with me. And David T. at that store, you rock. You fixed it. Whatever you did, you fixed it. And he reinstalled
the disk. You don't know what fixed it?
No, he ran all the tests, and he's like, none of your tests are showing up as anything is wrong. He did a little tinkering with the drives in my system because I was telling Paul they were set up as a RAID. I have two identical drives.
That's how Asus does the S7, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I was curious how you were going to react to that statement, because when she said she had two drives set up as a RAID, I was like, what are you talking about?
That's what they do. Yeah, that's what they do. They give you two drives rated in RAID, striped RAID.
Doesn't that have important battery life issues?
No. It gives you better throughput. And then they can buy two smaller drives, because I think, what do you have, a terabyte or five? I can't remember what.
No, I don't. I don't have that much storage.
Mine
had
the same thing. They had two smaller drives rated.
Wow, I've never seen that. That
he
I know
tested
of.
Both drives. He ended up decoupling them, and then he reinstalled Windows 10. And whatever happened, it seems to have fixed it. So thank you, David T.
You still see one drive?
Yep, I see. Okay. I see one. Well, now I see two because of how he set it up. But I don't really care. Ooh. It seems to be working fast. Maybe even
you don't
faster.
Have to set them up as RAID. I mean, you could actually set them up as one.
But that's how they come from the
drive.
Factory. Is
they do. That,
RAID
so it looks like I have
continuous
one
drive. Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's how it's set up at the factory.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Microsoft Store in New York. Then July 13th, we're doing the Windows Weekly Show live at the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference in Toronto. So if you're at that show, you can come to our show live, which will start around 2:30 that day. And we're in the schedule for Worldwide Partner Conference, so come to our show. We're pretty sure we're going to do a meetup the day before, which will be Tuesday, and we still haven't nailed where that will be. But, two live shows coming up.
Wow. Busy summer.
Busy. Good. Well, we will. I will not be here next week, but we will do the show at the same time at 11 a.m.
Now, are you going somewhere fun, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to Lisa and Michael and I are all going to Newport Beach, Southern California. Nice. It's a nice, we're going to have a little go to the resort, going to go to Universal Studios, we're going to maybe go to Disneyland, do some of the Southern California things.
Cool.
Ride around on a Duffy boat, which is apparently a big thing to do in Newport Beach. It should be fun. Yeah, just 5 days off. I'll be back. I won't miss the weekend shows, but this show, big deal.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I say.
No, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I will miss those, but I will be back on the weekend. And I'll be back for the Microsoft Store show.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
So, okay. Have a good trip.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks, and everybody else should come back here for Windows Weekly, as always. Paul Theroux from Theroux.com, Mary Jo Foley, allaboutmicrosoft.com. Catch the show live, but if you can't, on demand, always available, twit.tv/WW, or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.